Hey, what's poppin', everybody? The Drew and Mike Show in the DealsInTheD.com studios. Yes, our friends at Zot are still with us. Hopefully moving some wheels. We all try to get closer to something resembling normalcy.
Yeah.
This weekend, what's taking place this weekend? Memorial Day weekend is this weekend, right?
It's this weekend.
Is everything open? How much is open this weekend?
Well, if you're in zone 6 or 8, it sounds like a lot of stuff.
Okay, so yeah, we can't have people at the restaurant this weekend.
No. They can do carry out, though.
That reminds me, I was supposed to mention something about the restaurant.
I put it in the book yesterday.
You did.
I don't know if that doesn't mean it's still there because it was not encased in plastic.
Who's been in the book? Who's been in the book?
Just Damn you it. And me.
Why, we can't blame it on Denny anymore. Damn.
You're right, Trudy. We can't. Drew, I'll reprint it.
Okay. Mesa is open for business. I've been pretty much eating all my food during coronavirus at Mesa. Mark's been enjoying the chicken flautas. The fajitas are great. The nachos are great.
That sounds delicious.
The quesadillas are awesome. Plenty to eat there. If you want to go out for a ride, be great if you did curbside, but don't be afraid to call Uber Eats or DoorDash or any of the fine delivery people use like Grubhub. Mm. Oh, here we go.
Okay. I've been craving some of that brisket. What do they make with the marinated brisket?
Well, the brisket is in, you can get the brisket in with the hamburgers, the Mass Burger. Or you get brisket in the quesadillas, too, which is great.
Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
Just start calling it the Ghost Burger.
Now that sounds...
Oh, yeah. Where is he? He wouldn't return our call yesterday?
He never called back. No one got a text from him.
So he's going to screw Ken Osmond.
Yeah.
Because we talked to Bogey.
Ken Osmond died at the wrong time.
summer is coming, finally. Memorial Day weekend calls for 70s and sun. Order Mesa mocktails, beer, or wine for your social distance Memorial Day barbecue.
Yeah.
There you go. Or order food and get a few mocktails with it. All you got to do is add the liquor. Full list of options on likemesa.com. Simply call, pull up. They'll bring it out to your curbside. And we're proud to partner with Frontline Foods to provide meals to local healthcare heroes. Boy, that was a listener that got us hooked up with that. That's been a lifesaver.
It's great.
We've delivered over 450 meals to doctors, nurses, and staff at Beaumont. Make a tax-deductible donation at frontlinefoods.org to help Mesa continue cooking for our local frontline workers. Yeah, that thing's worked out great.
Did anyone order a hero?
And we're getting ready to reopen as soon as we get the go-ahead. If we don't have 9 feet of water here, if there are any dams breaking,
in
Midland.
Oh, my God. How awful. And Brandon's got a connection to Midland.
Oh, well, somewhat. I mean, I lived in Freeland for a while, and I have friends up there, and yeah, it's a mess, man.
Yeah, Midland is completely fucked. They have 9 feet of water, 2 dams, one breached. The second one was about to breach earlier today. This was not a surprise, by the way.
Nope.
The feds have been warning for decades that this could happen. In 2018, energy regulators pulled the Edenville Dam's operator's license. They could not pass enough water to avert failure. So they said, you're not even operating this anymore. Capacity issues have been raised at this dam since the 1990s. So can I just ask, could someone have maybe gotten this done?
You mean fix the dam?
Yeah.
Damn it.
I saw that meme. That was a good meme.
Because it's about time we fix the dam.
I mean, honestly, and I'm not trying to blame anyone right now, like Governor Whitmer, but, I mean, in 20 years, someone couldn't have addressed this and gotten this done. Isn't this someone's responsibility?
Well, if the feds revoked the license, then who's running it?
That's a great question, but, you know, great that you revoked the license after 20 years of not doing the job, but then what?
20 years.
Yeah.
Now we got 9 feet of water. We got, what is it, how many people?
10,000.
Tens of thousands of people out of their homes. Floods up to 9 feet in the... I'm just so irritated with government these days.
Not just that they have to be evacuated, but they have to go somewhere, and they have to social distance when they go somewhere.
Yeah.
So it could be more awkward.
I know. Can you imagine?
So this company that's at fault, are they just going to, we're bankrupt, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a big, oh my God.
It's crazy.
But it's, yeah, it's crazy. The owner was Boyce Hydro.
Oh, huge company.
Boyce Hydro? Is that real name?
Yeah, well, they're related to Boyce Avenue.
They were chronically.
A subsidiary of Boyce Avenue.
They probably are because they're pretty slow moving, apparently. they were chronically non-compliant with request to upgrade the dam because they knew this was disastrous. And the feds had said there's a possibility of grave danger. So what gives? Why did nobody ever just go, we'll fix it tomorrow. Don't worry about it.
You want to make somebody do it, maybe?
I don't know. I'm just completely, I have no idea what I'm talking about because I don't know whose job it is. But I have to believe that anyone who works as the mayor of Midland or the city council or, I mean, even I would think this would interest state people. And what does a dam fall under? Forestry department or something? I don't even know.
Yeah, but you'd know what their excuse is going to be.
I inherited broken junk.
Not my fault. It was the people before me.
Yeah, but I can't imagine living there with that hanging over their heads for since 20
you know,
or
Trudy,
before.
Who built that
piece of shit?
I don't know who built that piece of shit, but it's been hanging over their heads for so long. I think people go, it's not going to happen. Not on my watch. Maybe happen to the next guy, but not me.
Pass the buck.
So don't worry about it. You know, not to mention the fact that the last 10 years, we had a pretty killer economy. There was lots of money available. Mm-hmm. So, again, I don't know enough about
tremendous amounts of water.
Well, did you see what Dow said today, too? Because Dow's up in Midland.
Well, there's issues with possible chemical explosions.
Yeah, they have containment ponds for their chemicals, and it's flooded into their ponds.
It's crazy.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Wonderful. Grand.
They saw that they let the green ooze guy out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if he's dug a new hole in a building. That guy is such a mess, man.
I hate to even mention this. This was passed along to me. This could be breaking news, period.
Oh, really?
I wonder if the 4 o'clock news even had it.
The sounder?
Yes, we do. We should have used breaking
news. Breaking news with Mort Krim.
You know, I think we've gotten really sloppy about the news sounder. We've got to get on that. That's a kind of a network thing that I should be more concerned with. The Ford Dearborn truck plant, allegedly, someone has coronavirus in the plant.
Oh, already.
And so they've been shut down, and they're decontaminating it or whatever they're doing.
But, allegedly, I should say that for legal purposes.
You know, aren't they wearing those 6 feet watches where you know?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so they'll know who's been in contact with who and all that. I mean, they'll be traced properly.
Theoretically, yes, they would know.
I'm trying to be positive about this. But, you
I'm
know.
Sure they'll contact trace it back perfectly.
I thought the big three were so safe. Remember that?
They're the safer.
Why opening the big three first?
Hey,
oh, because they're safer.
Think of how many would have gotten it if they weren't so safe. So instead of one, it would have been tens.
Didn't they just temperature check people going in there? They didn't literally check them with the nose swab, did they?
No, a temperature check was the best. This guy, I'm sure, he got a positive test.
But then if they're doing a temperature check, that's not the only thing you need.
They're staying 6 feet away.
You can be asymptomatic for a while.
I woke up this morning. This is kind of gross, but I don't know if people can see that. This is a little, like a weird rash on my neck. I know. Freaked me out. It itches, and I'm like,
nasty.
Is this coronavirus? So, of course, the first thing you do is go to Google and start typing words in. So I searched
neck rash, coronavirus,
AIDS.
I started writing coronavirus, itchy, because I was going to write itchy rash or itchy skin. And after I typed in itchy, the first suggestion was anus, coronavirus, itchy anus. So apparently a lot of people have an itchy anus out there.
So they're Googling to see if it's part of coronavirus. Don't tell me it is part of coronavirus. It's not, is it?
I think it's a part of a bunch of problems.
Oh,
itchy anus.
Google's just a creep, and they just fill anus in after every search.
Can you imagine?
I asked Julie, I go, have you been Googling like itchy anus? She's like, what? No, what are you talking about? Because you've probably been doing it. I said, hey, if I had an itchy anus, we all know the solution to that is just to scratch it.
Penis.
Shouldn't Google be putting out the creepiest searches of the year every year?
Yeah.
I mean, that one place, you know, they put out all the weirdest things up people's butts every year.
Yeah.
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 I almost didn't believe that, but then I heard Stern, Howard Stern had, they were talking about the Fist Fest.
Yeah, I heard.
And Wolfie was saying, you know, they were asking, and everybody's so grossed out that it even came up. They were kind of reviewing it, though, and one guy was saying that his greatest moment was he had three fists in his ass at once.
Aww.
I know. And one guy said he had a foot in his ass up to his ankle.
Oh, God.
I know. It's one of those things you just go, is this real? I mean.
Well, then other people were lamenting because, you know, coronavirus, they can't get out and do that. Howard wished him on his way. He said, don't worry, your anus will soon be prolapsed again. That was his parting wish.
It's tough all over, everybody. There's a lot of interesting industry news. First of all, right off the bat, Joe Rogan. Yeah. And I'm really glad. I'm really happy for him. It's great for podcasting. Joe Rogan gets a deal in the neighborhood of $100 million to move his show to Spotify.
Exclusively.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be on the other platforms for the rest of the year, I guess. And it wasn't on Spotify, which I was surprised that it wasn't.
Yeah.
So
we're looking at money.
Now, that would make Joe Rogan, I believe he'd be the third or fourth highest paid person broadcasting on radio or podcasts or satellite radio, because there's Howard, there's Rush Limbaugh.
Who else?
I got to believe he's number three. I don't think
Does Levin make money? Isn't that his name, Mark Levin? He's a national guy.
I don't know.
Mark Levin, Hannity, they have big deals, too.
Yeah, don't forget about me, Alex Jones. I make a ton of money.
I think he makes $2 million a year.
That's from selling bone broth, extra power.
But
Totally Googled itchy anus.
All the time. He likes to read about it.
Gross.
$100 million, I mean, that's a phenomenal deal. I mean, that is so great for podcasting, and he delivers.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to hand it to him. He has really put together a show that people listen to, and every now and then I find out he's got a guest, and I'll pop over and listen to it, and it seems like a great show. I'm not as in the thick of it as a lot of people are, because he does long shows, for one. He does a lot of shows, too.
Yeah.
So
check out this list of the top five here. And obviously, Joe Rogan's going to now probably jump in here, but this is the average annual earnings for the highest paid radio hosts in the U.S. Howard Stern at $90 million a year.
Wow.
Rush Limbaugh, $84.5 million a year.
Wow.
Ryan Seacrest, $74 million.
Is that just for his radio, or is that everything?
You know, I'm not sure. It also, next up is Sean Hannity at $36 million and Glenn Beck at 8.5. But that's a big jump from 1 to 5. $90 million to 8.5.
Yeah. I mean, Howard is a thing unto himself. That's people addicted to his show for 35, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had the balls to go to satellite. And, you know, somebody was sent me a nice note the other day and said that when we went to podcasting, they were going through kind of a weird career thing, and they didn't really want to do what they were doing anymore, but it was like, and anyway, this person said that the switch in her career, she said, we inspired her because, you know, instead of just, I don't know, moving on in radio, we just decided to try something and take a chance, and
that's what's like the coolest thing anyone's ever said to me.
I knew I was going to get hit by something like that. It was cool. I was moved by it.
Nice.
It was really nice. Mm. And this person is kicking ass.
As I say, I hope it worked out for them.
She's the one with the giant business card.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
Lindsay.
Really?
She sent me something today, in fact. What was that? Well, first let me mention Death Wish Coffee, who have re-upped for another month. Oh, boy, was that good news. I got to tell you, I was in a – my day was weird. Start out with the Death Wish news. I was really excited about it. I'm like, wow, the timing's unbelievable. No one's getting new advertisers right now. We lost a few because of no fault of theirs, no fault of ours. But here comes Death Wish out of nowhere, and it's a smashing success.
Yeah.
So they come back and
thank you, listeners.
Yeah, I think we're going to be okay. We got a couple other ones coming on too. If you're not a morning person, it's not a problem. Dark roast, bold flavor, reliable, don't ask questions. The OC bag of beans, maybe the only morning friend you'll ever need if you're lucky. Each cup of Death Wish coffee brews smooth and is extra caffeinated to fuel your busiest days.
That sounds delicious.
They recommend at least one cup first thing in the morning in total isolation.
Oh.
So you can take that jolt without distraction. Basic Brews not invited. Go to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew. I actually asked because it was a little presumptuous of me to say, if you're a pussy, do not buy Death Wish Coffee.
It's true.
And the marketing department said, that's okay. That's fine.
Well, yeah, because it's true.
Yeah, it's true. No, that's exactly right. They said that should be in the copy.
Yeah.
It's,
I wonder if they'll go with the ones that Wheels used about getting punched in the...
Well, send them on.
Anus.
I think they're copyrighted by somebody. Anyway, go to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew and use the code Drew15 at checkout to receive 15% off your entire order. And it's available at Meijer and all those places. In fact, I got a graph today of how it's doing retail.
Really?
Detroit versus other markets. Yeah, it's interesting.
Oh, man. You love graphs.
What's a graph?
Yeah, graphs.
Is it linear or logarithmic?
This is linear.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, you have stats that are far worse than the ones that I use.
If you want an amateur stat.
Did anybody besides me notice KROQ, K-Rock, the world-famous K-Rock in Los Angeles was trending on Twitter yesterday?
Yeah, I was met with that, face full of that right early in the morning and thought, uh-oh. So
yeah, it was a story. Was that Hollywood Reporter, Variety? I think it's the end of KROQ as we know it.
Variety, yeah.
And no, they've not been purchased by a religious operation, but... They, of course, Kevin and Bean were the morning show. Bean left. He retired. He went to England. He's doing something with podcasting, too. And then they, 3 months later, they fire Kevin. I mean, it's like a Tuesday night. Yeah, let's wrap up the weekend. See ya.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was pissed and he expressed himself. And he did have a final show with Jimmy Kimmel and, oh no, was that, was Kimmel on that show? The Bean show he was on. Yeah, I think Jimmy was on that show. You know, and some of the old KROQ people, but I read it's a long story, and they talked to the former program director who said it was death by a thousand cuts. They just, you know, Ralph Garman was their entertainment guy. They cut him. He's got a big podcast, too. They cut a real popular traffic person. They cut two other people. I think the newswoman, news female, news chick, and Bean leaves, and then they blow out Kevin, and the thing was, we're just not doing the numbers like we used to. And we all know that Kevin's deal was up in November, and they just didn't want to pay for a morning show.
Yep. So and then didn't they force the afternoon show to do mornings, and they didn't really want to do that?
They didn't. And they cratered. Yeah. In 1 month, they lost almost half the audience, KROQ did. They are doing a 1.4 now in Los Angeles.
What were they doing?
They were 2.5. And actually, if you go a couple months before that, they're like a 2.8, 2.9. I mean, they probably just had a bad month. Maybe Kevin's third month after Bean left was not good. But, you know, those things go up and down. Anyway, and talking about this station has an incredible legacy. You know, much like WRAF, I think it was a little more... I think the whole thing was more imagined, and there was a coolness about that station that permeated through the advertisers, through the talent, through the whole place. It was almost too cool for school. I mean, it was a very cool radio station, and they launched a lot of national careers like Jimmy Kimmel, yeah. Adam Carolla.
Isn't that the mayor of the Sunset Strip, wasn't he, K-Rock?
Yeah, Rodney Bingheimer and Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple others, I think. But anyway, I mean, just an amazing, amazing station. They built $70 million in 2005. So,
wow.
I'm reading all these experts, you know, giving their analysis in the new program, the new PD, who says the drop is really related to Bean leaving and Kevin really was, you know, it's
always
really
nice to really know your subject. I know that subject.
Changing the whole morning show. He acted like it all was going to happen anyway, or it, you know, I don't know. I thought it was kind of a Weasley comment. So they asked him, well, who are you trying to reach now? Because all of a sudden they're not playing The Cure. They're not playing Depeche Mode. They're not playing the Foo Fighters, Nirvana, or the Chili Peppers, who are mainstays on that station.
What are they playing now?
I didn't recognize a lot of the artists. I know Billie Eilish is their number one artist, I believe.
Oh, good.
What about Phineas?
I don't think Phineas had made the playlist yet. Oh, they were playing... who did the Nirvana tribute?
Post Malone.
Post Malone.
Oh.
They're playing Post Malone now. They'd never played Post Malone before. And anyway, the guy said, Target is 28, 29, and it's ethnically diverse. Hmm. I'm like, wait, 28, 29. But those people don't really listen to much radio.
It's a really small demographic.
How do you represent each ethnicity equally in a rock format? I don't really understand what you're doing there. So anyway, my analysis in the end is that FM is the new AM.
Oh. Well.
Speaking of AM, should we check in on Paul W. Smith at some point today?
Well, yes, we absolutely should.
Carmine's supposed to be coming up here. I'm double checking. But
okay, Carmine.
Where's
the phone number?
Appice from Vanilla Fudge. His brother goes by Appice.
Yes.
They're both drummers. They've both been all over the place. Carmine wrote, "Do You Think I'm Sexy?" with Rod Stewart and Young Turks, two huge hits. Vanilla Fudge was a super psychedelic rock band in the 60s and early 70s. Vinny Appice, as he says, he played with Dio. Mm-hmm. He played with Black Sabbath. Carmine played with Jeff Beck, too.
Carmine has played with everyone.
Yes.
When's the last time you guys played some Ronnie James Dio?
I'm glad you mentioned Dio, because I guess any day now is the 10-year anniversary of Ronnie James Dio's death. And Carmine and Vinny, who are both drummers, they produced this track. It's sort of a track to honor Ronnie James Dio. So that's actually what he was calling about. I'm going to mention our new sponsor, ERSI, Emergency Response Services Incorporated, Southeast Michigan's fastest responders to your home or business, water extraction, drying needs. I have a feeling these guys are probably busy right now. But they'd love to hear from you if you need them. In addition, helping Metro Detroit with fire damage, storm damage, mold removal, and now with COVID, too, because people need disinfection treatments, whether it's your home or your business or maybe it's your car. Anyway, to learn more, call 877-JOB-DONE or go to 877-JOB-DONE.com. Tell them we sent you. And if you're an emergency plumber or you work for a plumbing supply house in Southeast Michigan, call now for your free COVID-19 disinfection treatment, your workplace or your vehicle. That's 877-JOB-DONE.
Cool.
And I think Mark was interviewing Carmine.
Oh, privately.
Yeah.
No, I picked it up and there was nothing there. And so then I went to see if there's a dial tone and there's just some dude talking about your credit line.
What?
Really?
I can't. Well, it's obviously not. Well, maybe it's Carmine. I don't know. Let's see.
Okay.
Okay, now I have a dial tone, but it was weird. So I don't think that was him calling in.
Oh, yeah. He should be any second now.
Should have been seconds ago.
Ooh.
Do you want to hear a fun part from his book?
Who's on the phone?
Sure.
Do you want me to save it?
No, there's so many stories around Carmine and Vinny, too, because they were around a lot of pretty cool people.
They're in Asia's Stick It, My Life of Sex, Drums, and Rock and Roll's the book. And they're talking about they just played the Budokan show, and they were in a hotel room with some fans, and they were bored, so they started walking down the hall. And two guys started following them and said, "Jeff, Timmy, Carmine, bye," and started blowing kisses at them.
Really?
So that freaked him out, so he grabbed a fire extinguisher and just sprayed it down the hallway until they disappeared. Of course, that's another thing they got the bill for. So then the next night, they decided that they were going to turn their attention to their sexual misbehavior.
Oh, boy.
And they're in Tokyo. Their tour manager had a hooker in his room, and for some reason invited me, Jeff, Tim, and Phil to watch. The poor girl didn't think this was part of the deal and kept demanding more money. Not easy, as she was lying flat on her back with his dick in her mouth at the time.
Oh, boy.
Hard to negotiate.
The tour manager was squatting over the girl and unleashed three huge farts onto her tits.
Oh, my God. What?
She smelled the rank odor and heard us all laughing. She found the strength.
Let me fart in her face.
She found the strength to push him off of her, grab her clothes, and run out of the room. Whatever he paid that chick, she earned it.
I don't understand why people want to do this kind of thing, like, you know, invite people in. When I was at Virginia Tech.
He regrets it now.
Yeah. I understand.
I mean,
I'm not judging.
He's got
him.
A daughter in her 20s. And
see, that's the punishment.
You grow up.
Yeah, when I was at Virginia Tech, I remember
tremendous school.
Hearing some guys, this is in a jock dorm, bragging about, I think, three or four men had sex with one girl. And I was like,
weird.
Wait, that's why? Why is that cool? And it was always like, you'd hear that occasionally, like, yeah, let's go. Maybe we can run a train on her. You know, talking about some girl. I'm like, what? Run a train? What is that? I would ever want to be part of such a thing.
We little naive.
I just caught my wife with 10 guys running a train on her ass.
I mean, isn't it? Does anyone understand what the joy is in that?
He's calling me. Hang on.
Uh-oh. Oh, I'm sure it's just about, you know, power again. He then goes on to tell
a story. What's the part about the other two, the three guys? Or
camaraderie.
Okay.
I don't know, Drew. He goes on to talk about going to a bathhouse in Japan, too.
Yeah.
He's just laying there nude, and this girl's sliding all over him, just oiled up. And he's like, before I know it, she put a condom on me. Like, he was so surprised that she was able to do that, like, with her mouth, without him even noticing.
Some talented ladies out there.
Yeah. He also was a king of the nude move.
Like, the king of the nude move? Oh, really?
Yeah, he would pull. I forget which band member would do it with him.
He should be calling right now.
Okay. Did you speak to him?
Yeah, he called. Now I have Carmine Appice's number.
It's Carmine Appice, isn't it? For Carmine, but Vinny is Appice? I mean, I swear to God, I heard somebody talking about this today, and I'm like, what? Because I've heard both.
If only we knew who to ask about it, but I thought that it was Appice.
I'm going to ask Carmine.
That Rod Stewart refused to call by his right name and called him Appice, but...
Carmine!
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, man? We got Drew and Mark and Trudy, and how are you doing, man?
I'm good. How you guys doing? What's up? You're in the Detroit area, huh?
Yeah. Were your ears burning a little bit?
A little bit. he told me about what you were talking about.
Oh, okay.
Wild.
Yeah, it sounded like a lot of you've had a little bit of fun through your.
I want to read more of the book now.
I do too. You know, we were just talking about today. I read this, and I'm like, this has got to be a joke that you and Vinny pronounce your last names differently.
Oh, yeah, where you been for the last 20 years?
Well, I knew how to pronounce your name, but I didn't realize Vinny pronounced it different. I mean, what's up with that?
Yeah. Well, it started out. I was the same name.
Uh-oh. Oh no, not that.
When I joined Rod Stewart. And then I used to correct everybody. They called me Carmine Appice. And they would call me Carmen Appice. So to get it right. So anyway, it's been years and years of going through that. So then finally when I joined Rod, he said, you got to get one way to say your name. How most people say that? Most people call me Appice. So we went with that. And I was good with that for 4 years, 5 years at Rod, and then my brother came out with Black Sabbath, and they got a lot of press, and it was Vinny Appice. Everybody got confused. And they've been confused ever since.
You toured with Ozzy at one point, didn't you, briefly?
I did, for 4 months here.
Was there a problem with Sharon?
The problem with Sharon, definitely. Yeah, she fired me. She said, my name was too big. I need to start my my own band because my name was too big. And I did. I started King Cobra.
Well, I was going to say it's kind of a compliment in a strange way, but you're probably. I mean,
it was Tama. That's not what I wanted.
You know? Right.
I wanted to stay with Ozzy. I wanted to play. You know, I wanted to stay with Ozzy. I wanted to help produce. Excuse me about the phone. Yeah, I don't know why it's ringing. Nobody ever rings this phone. No.
Yeah, there we go. We got a ring too. I'm watching you guys. You and your brother came up with this tribute song to Ronnie James Dio as we are on the 10-year anniversary of his death, Monsters and Heroes. And you can find it on YouTube, or actually there were multiple places I noticed where it was. It's a rockin' song. And the funny thing is watching, because you guys made a video, I guess you sent it around and added your tracks and you synced it up, and you and Vinny playing tag team drums, and then you're playing together. That was interesting.
Yes, it is. It's something we never did before, but we did that song because we played it live with the band that's on there. That's our drummer's band, and it's a song that was on our album. The song is about Ronnie. And we thought that it would be a good idea to do that song. And then Vinny said, hey, you know what? We should do that song and do it for Ronnie, a tribute to Ronnie, because it's the 10th anniversary of his death. And I said, oh, wow, that's amazing. We should definitely do that. And I said, we should hire a PR person to get some PR on it, because it's a good thing, you know, doing a tribute and a celebration of somebody's career that passed away. So, and Ronnie was a friend of ours, and he was like a brother to me and Vinny. And so we did it, and that's how we did it. And it was easy to do because everybody played the song in that band many times with our Drum Wars show. You know, we were scheduled to play March. No, I'm sorry. We played a few months ago. We played Detroit area with the show, and it was great. It was a great reaction and a good time.
Hey, this town rocks.
Detroit rocks. I mean, come on, half a cactus is Detroit, you know.
Amen.
Yeah. Cactus is here.
Say what, Trudy?
Cactus is here. What does he mean by that? Half the band lives here?
Well, it was me and Tim Boger in New York, and Rusty Day and Jim McCarty were from Cactus. I mean, from Detroit. They were from Cactus. Wheels? Come on, Detroit Wheels. And the Amboy Dukes. Where are they from?
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The Amboy Dukes? Well, Ted's from here, and I think all those guys are from here, aren't they?
That's right. They were from there.
Yeah, and the tradition continues with Sponge and Verve Pipe. Well, they're East Lansing, but yeah, there's so much music. There's always music here.
Yeah, it always came out. I mean, come on. Vanilla Fudge, you keep me hanging on. Where was that from? Motown.
Yeah, Motown. That's right. You know, I was going to ask you about that because that was a huge hit. I remember that as a kid. I was born in late 59, but I definitely remember that track. And you guys, how you heard that Motown song by the Three Supremes and said, hey, there's a good psychedelic rock cover we can do. I mean, that's really cool.
We listened to it and said, you know, the lyrics don't fit the track. That's all. And we slowed the track down to get more emotion where the lyrics had more emotional value at our tempo.
Does Vanilla Fudge get their due? Because I don't hear about Vanilla Fudge as much as I remember at that time. Vanilla Fudge was huge.
We don't get our due. When we should have been way, way, way back. We should have gotten that Rock Hall of Fame because we influenced so many people and took so many people on the road, and we were a big part of the explosion that all the other bands that were with us, Jimi Hendrix and the Cream and the Who, and all those guys got in, you know, but we never did.
Well, one of those big bands that you took on the road was Led Zeppelin. Zeppelin actually opened for them.
Tell me about it.
And did you take Bonham under your wing, or did he teach you? You did, yeah.
I did, yeah. I got him the same Ludwig drum set that I had because he loved my kit. And I called him. I said, I think these guys are going to be big. The understatement of 5 decades.
You know? There's a weird camaraderie amongst drummers. Like why it seems like all drummers are really tight, but maybe guitarists have a little battle between them. Why is that? Why do drummers all seem to be like a real tight knit group?
Who knows? Same thing as singers. You know.
I think there's a lot of respect among bass players
with
too.
Each other too. You know, bass players are cool. You know, the guitar players, they're in the front. There's a lot of bands are based off the guitar player and off the guitar, so they get all egoed out and think that life doesn't live without them, you know?
So, Carmine, I'm reading about you today because I'm prepping for this interview, which I knew it was going to be the best interview you had because we always do our homework. And,
okay.
And I was so excited because Mark, who was also prepping, making this such a great interview, Mark pointed out that you had cut a track with Sly Stone in 2011. And I'm like, wow,
I didn't really know about this
album. And I've been fascinated with Sly Stone. First of all, I just love his music. He's another guy that doesn't get his due. And he's been through all this financial problems, and he's had some health problems and whatnot.
He had a lot of drug problems. That's why
it all
fell apart. You know, they opened up the Vanilla Fudge too at one point. And, you know, he had a lot of drug problems.
He's a fascinating guy, though. And I mean, what a fabulous...
His music was amazing. Amazing music. And that album we did, I just played on the track. He wasn't around, you know.
that was kind of our big question: is how does Sly Stone? How does he record now? But that kind of makes sense.
I don't even know. Everyone that played on that record played on it in their own studio somewhere.
Really?
And you never heard about it because it's 2011 and records don't sell anymore.
No, yeah. I didn't know about it. And I'm like, wait, what is on this record? It's every great Sly and the Family Stone song reproduced with, you know, Jeff Beck and Carmine. And I thought on some tracks, I thought, yeah, Sly still sounds pretty good. Like he could sing live. And then, you know, it's not as good as the original songs, though.
No, I mean, look, he was still out of it because I saw him play BB King's a few years ago when he came out to do a gig. He came out and there's something wrong with his neck. His neck is permanently down, like looking down at the floor. So he's playing the keyboard, and then he said, "Everybody, all right, clap your hands. I want to, you know, clap your hands." Then he gets off the keyboard and walks to the side of the stage, walks down the aisle, up near the bar, out the door, left the club. And the band is up there playing. Could tell they're looking at each other, going, "What's going on? You know, what's going on?" And finally, they kept it going for a couple of minutes and realized he ain't coming back.
Oh boy!
And that was the end of the show.
Yeah,
they only played 10 minutes.
You can tell there's a lot of live stuff on YouTube from the 2000s. And, of course, there's that famous Grammy performance, whatever that was. You can tell the band's always trying to coax a song out of him, and it just is so hard. He seems to – he'll do a great verse, and then all of a sudden he's
terrible.
Not doing anything. It's really too bad.
He was living on the street in a van for a while. I mean, this guy was a mess. I mean, he was a nice guy. And I went backstage at that B.B. King show and said hi to him because we knew him. In the old days, I mean, he got married at one time when he played Madison Square Garden. I was at the gig. We were at the wedding.
Oh,
you know, we've known the guy. You know, went by, said hi, and never expected him to walk out. I got to say,
Carmine, I have never heard anyone explain to me or anybody that was at Sly Stone's wedding at Madison Square Garden. They sold tickets for a full concert, correct? And then he got married before the show.
It was either before or after. I can't remember. I think it was before.
And how weird was that?
Very weird. And then me and Tim Bogert went on the road for a couple of shows, and we jammed the encore with Sly and Family Stone. So Greg Errico, who is a friend of mine, and the bass player, Larry Graham, would come off the stage, and me and Tim would go on and play with them. You know?
God, Larry's so good.
It was great. We had a lot of fun. And it was cool and everything, but you know, he was wild. They're crazy, you know. And he tried to produce our second Beck Bogert and the Peace album. Right?
Yeah.
We
how'd that go?
San Francisco, not well. we took all our gear, our roadies, everything. We went to the record plant in Sausalito. We set up, and we're ready to go. We're in there at noon first day. We're waiting for Sly. He doesn't show up. He shows up like 4 hours late. He goes, all right, man. Play me a groove. So we'll play him like a groove. I said, oh, yeah, I like it. And he'll get up and walk out of the room for a minute, we thought. Then we don't come back.
We were
there for 2 weeks, and we got nothing done. Zero. Zero done. All we did was party at the hotel. Afterwards with groupies, that's about it. I think the story's in the book.
Well, it could have been worse. Yeah, what's the name of the book, Carmine? Because Mark was pulling all kinds of gems out of the book.
It's Stick It, My Life of Sex, Drums, and Rock and Roll.
I got to get that.
Now, there's another story. I think it's in that book, too. There's the infamous story of when Prince, before Prince became Prince, and he was opening for the Rolling Stones and... You know,
right.
The audience really didn't care for, how he was dressed or didn't really know who he was and kind of booed him off stage and was really upset. And who comforted him but you?
Well, the story goes further than that. I was being managed, and we were going to do a new Vanilla Fudge album, and the management company had this lady that was like an assistant manager. She owned a house in the Valley. She was having some financial troubles. I was getting divorced. I needed a place to, like, hang my hat, per se. So I bought into her house, lent her some money, and then she said, all right, you can stay in this room, but we have this new artist named Prince that comes into town. He hates hotels, so I let him stay in the house. I said, well, that's okay, because I didn't stay at my girlfriend's house anyway. I'll just come here to pick up clothes and stuff. So that's what the situation was. One time I walked in my house, in the morning to get clothes. I didn't know he was there. I walk in and him and Vanity were in my bed.
Ooh. You
know? So that was interesting.
He was pulling...
At the time he did this Rolling Stone thing, he got booed off the stage. He came back to the house. He was so depressed. And we sat around having a cup of tea with him. Me and Jamie was the name. And we were talking to him. And I told him, hey, look, when Vanilla Fudge first came out, we went to Portland, Oregon. We got booed off the stage, you know, but we just kept playing. And we just said, you know, we're here to play. We flew 3,000 miles to do it. We're going to play it whether you like it or not. Oh. And we did it. By the end of the show, we got the audience on our side. I said, and we became big and we had hit records. So don't even worry about it.
You know? Coming.
So we calmed him down. And then he went on to become Prince, the huge act.
Wow.
The huge actor, musician. Can you explain what happened, though, at the Stone Show? Because I got the impression it had to do with what he was wearing, maybe, as much as anything.
I wasn't there, so I don't know. I wasn't at the show. I was just in the aftermath at the house.
I think the way
probably when I first saw him, I couldn't believe it's the same guy that's on the stage wearing women's underwear on a mattress, you know, dry humping the mattress on stage.
Yeah.
I said to Jamie, it's the same guy that lives in the house, you know, he's so shy and timid in the house. He's like a whole different person.
Yeah, I could see the Stones audience. I think it was like a trench coat, and he opened it up and had panties on. And the Stones crowd didn't even know who he was. And that just, I don't know, I can't see the Stones crowd digging that in 1980.
Exactly right.
Monsters and Heroes is the tribute song about Ronnie James Dio with Vinnie and Carmine. And I know your brother was in the band with him. Dio, he's on Holy Diver and a lot of great stuff. In fact, he left.
And he was in Black Sabbath.
Too. Yeah, he left Sabbath to play with Ronnie James Dio. That's pretty huge.
Yes. And through that, Ronnie became friends of ours and friends of my family, because when they were doing Dio, he had no family out there. So, you know, him being Italian as well would come to our family events, Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving and birthdays, and we would go to his house for stuff. My brother had a party. He was there. When I got married in 1983, he came to the wedding. He threw me a bachelor party. I mean, we were like brothers, you know?
Yeah, he sounds... I mean,
so when he died, it really was hard on us. We saw him in the hospital. When we saw him, he died the next day, and then we're in the funeral home, in the coffin, in the cemetery. It was really difficult, you know?
Wow, so, that's fast.
Yeah.
So the song was written originally with King Cobra, but Paul Sciortino was the singer of King Cobra at the time, and he wrote the lyrics about Ronnie, and we did the song with King Cobra and then gave it to Wendy Dio for his charity, the cancer charity.
Sweet.
And then when we got it back, me and my brother were doing the record. I said, Vinny, you got to put you on this song. This is a great song. You played with Dio. I knew Dio, and Paul Sciortino, you know, was managed by Dio and produced. Dio produced his albums with Rough Cut. You should, you know, be on this. We could use this on the album. So Vinny agreed. We put Vinny on it, and that became an album on our song, a song on our album. Sorry, and then, you know, the rest is history. We did it, played it for 2.5 years, that album and that song. And 3 weeks ago, my brother said, let's do one of those videos. You know, that's on the...
the Zoom videos. Now,
you know, the Zoom videos or the Hollywood Squares or the... whatever you call it.
You know, when you guys, Vinny or Carmine, when you guys were tag team drumming, I noticed that you looked in the direction of his square, and I thought, oh, these guys are live. I really was faked out by that.
Well, because that's how we set up live. He's on the right, and I'm on the left. So he looks left, he sees me, I look right, and I see him. So it was a natural thing. Like, at one point, he points over to me when I did a drum fill. I didn't know he was doing that, or I would have done the same thing. But we had no director.
Well, the timing...
We just did it on the cuff.
The timing was really good. We got to move along, but I wanted to ask you, I know Mark mentioned the John Lennon thing, and I remember hearing you on the talk show on the Beatles channel on Sirius, was Vinny, or no, it was you, wasn't it, Carmine? On a Sunday night?
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys being connected to John Lennon, I guess Vinny played his last show with him, didn't he?
Vinny played the last show. He also met him when they wanted hand claps. But then he had a band that was managed by the record plant. And Jimmy Iovine, who's now a big, you know, mongol in the music business,
sure,
was just an engineer there. who was friends with Vinny. They grew up in Brooklyn together. They were younger than me. And he needed hand claps, so he got Vinny's band that was rehearsing upstairs to come down and do hand claps on Whatever Gets You Through the Night. They became friends with John. They never asked for their autograph and everything, so he felt cool going up, hanging out with them, playing pool with them, doing all this stuff. So and then John asked them to play on that. And then one time they were talking about Italian food, and he said, my mother makes great Italian food. She makes food for Rod Stewart, Jeff Beck. You know, would you like her to make you some? He goes, yeah, I'll have her make. So my mother made some lasagna, and Vinny gave it to him. You know, and then my mother never heard about it, and then Vinny went on with doing other things. And I played Five Nights at the Garden with Rod Stewart. And last night we had a big party, and John came to the show and came to the party. My mother and father came to the party with me. My mother said, isn't that John Lennon? I said, yeah. He's, I made lasagna for him. Vinny gave it to him. I said, oh, really? She goes, I never found out if he liked it. So I said, well, let's go ask him. So we go over. I introduce my mother. You know, and this is my, you know, Vinny's mother, too. She made you lasagna, right? She goes, yeah. It was great. It was great. So my mother says, I'm so glad you enjoyed it. Could have my pan back. Classic, right?
You gotta love moms.
That was the Italian pan that all the food was made in, you know? Manicotti, lasagna, you know, all kinds of stuff. Shells were made in everything.
Carmine, one final question about the groupies. You write about it a lot in the book, and I was reading an interview. You said that sometimes you and Tim would go into the bathroom and come out nude together to see how many of these groupies would stay around. And I was just wondering how many of the groupies would stay around. Would 98% leave?
Yeah, a lot of them.
I would think people.
I would say just enough to have. There was four guys in the Vanilla Fudge, actually. So if we had 10 chicks in there, there might have been four to five left. So we were always left with four and then maybe one extra that would end up, I don't know where they ended up, but somewhere.
Reserve player.
The crew or the managers or whatever, you know.
So the nude move worked.
It did work because it showed you who was into it and who wasn't.
Yeah, it does. It puts everything on the line.
It's consent.
And we were all skinny, you know. Nobody had it. Nobody cared about how, you know, that we were fat or anything, you know.
Yeah, the nude move saves a lot of time, I think. It really cuts to the chase.
It cuts right to the chase.
Carmine. Right to the chase. Thank you so much for your time. You're a great storyteller. It's a lot of fun to talk to you, and
all
our best to you guys, and congratulations on the track. It really rocks. Monsters and Heroes. Everybody check it out.
Thank you, bro.
You
bet.
Thank you.
All right, ciao.
Here we go with Vanilla Fudge.
Yeah. I learned two things from that interview.
What's that?
That Sly Stone was the person who innovated the trapdoor. Originally,
yeah.
Very pioneer of that move, and the nude move was invented by the Vanilla Fudge.
Oh, I think the nude move goes back centuries, Barbara? Trudy.
Really?
Right?
That possibly does. I'm so in love with my brother right now.
Boy, Facebook Live, nothing but a bitch fest, man. Complain. Yikes!
Oh my God, it's been sorry. Full of complaints.
Sorry, jeez.
I think Carmen's a great interview, honestly. He's really worked good. With everyone.
Yeah. They could all get better phones, though. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a problem. Well, these aren't ideal circumstances either.
This is our new normal.
But we had, when we had Robbie Robertson on, people bitched up a storm on Facebook.
Yeah, but it's okay.
Well, a lot of people dug it, so, you know, everything's not for everybody, but, oh, my God, right. People are just, I don't mean to be a dick, but, man, people are mighty fussy these days. Jesus. And I understand, with the coronavirus and stay at home, I'm sure a lot of people are really on edge or easily irritated or frustrated, and I'm just surprised this mask thing is just such...
Oh, great.
Oh, my God. Somebody's ragging me for wearing a mask. First of all, I've never worn a mask on the show. I said that I wear a mask when I go to a store or 7-Eleven. I didn't say that, you know, you have to wear a mask. In fact, the only thing I said was... I admitted to being soft. I'm close to the age range that's supposed to be more susceptible to this thing. So, I mean, it's just a safety thing for me. It's just being careful rather than...
It's not that big of a deal.
I don't think
it
is either.
I don't get it.
I was not saying you have to wear one. I'm not telling you what to do. And to be honest, the only request I have made is please don't go off on these clerks at stores or security guards who do not make the policy, because there have been a lot of incidents in stores where
just
people
doing their job
have to get all fussy with people. Go to somewhere where they don't care about masks. There's a place, a gas station in,
Kentucky. Yeah.
Kentucky.
Turns out they do. You know, they will allow you to wear a mask in there, but
go to Kentucky and get some gas.
She absolutely charmed you guys, though.
She did.
She was funny. I got a kick out of her, actually.
All right. She's fine. Yeah. I understand where her anger comes from.
Yeah.
I get that.
And this is what made me mad today was, first of all, I was on Facebook, and somebody had printed this horseshit review that we got, one-star review.
Great.
Because I'm a left-winger.
Oh boy!
Finally,
and okay, wait. You know, I might as well just go.
Finally, you get that complaint.
I've gotten it before.
I know.
Bunch of liberal trendies.
It's just really funny when it's next to a complaint about being a right wing stooge.
Are you also a sheep then?
Yes, I'm sheep too.
I love the cover you made yesterday, Brandon, for the show. Drew and I were laughing about that again. At drewandmikeshow.com.
I mean, I realize that a lot of things go on this show or any show that, you know, you're not going to agree with everything that happens.
No.
But if you've been with the show for 20 or 10 or 5 or 25 years in some case, I don't know, I would think you'd cut a little slack, like over a mask. I mean, sure. Is that enough to just go up and throw a one-star review up?
We'll be on another topic that... maybe you'll agree with, maybe you won't agree with that one before you know it. So,
what do you have to say?
Right. Yeah, that's right. I agree. Yeah, me too. Yeah, that's right.
So, anyway, when I saw the one star review that somebody posted on Facebook, and the funny thing was the rest of the audience just blistered this guy.
Oh,
which is kind of nice. I mean, and it ends up, and I responded to it, it ends up putting in the victim position, which is kind of, I mean, that's a nice place to be, the victim position.
Yeah. That's cool. Everybody runs to the defense, too. That's
really
cool. Have a gang.
I was like, who is this? What is this? So I went and looked at the review.
Nothing.
Let's see. How many shitty reviews do we have? Most of the reviews are really nice. They're 5 stars. People are incredibly kind.
That's very nice.
But then... where's this guy? Okay. Drew's extreme left-wing views are killing the show. My extreme left-wing views.
I agree.
I don't know where that's from exactly. Stop with demonizing one side for their views about Corona. Maybe you are wrong.
Okay.
If I'm a left-winger, who am I demonizing?
I don't know.
That means I would be demonizing people that...
Trump? I don't know.
People that want to go to work? Because I've been concerned about people working in their lives for a long time.
You didn't even reply. I sent you that. There's a story that some nerdy economists out of the University of Chicago did a study, and they found that those receiving unemployment benefits, you know, the $600 federal bonus for the times, 68% of them are making more on the benefits than they did at their job. And 20% are making twice as much as they did on their job. So you're lessening the incentive to go back anytime soon. It sucks.
However, it is going to be a big tax hit to all of them, because some of them are like, yeah, I'm getting free money and I don't have to work, but they're still going to pay. And now they'll pay more because they're making more on unemployment.
Oh, wow. You have to pay taxes on that?
Yeah, I saw that that story today.
On the $600 federal one? Well, the Fed, this is the best part. The Feds have just thrown so much money out there, the trillions. They don't even know.
They'll probably forget about the taxes.
They don't even know what's forgivable. I'm telling you, you should just wipe out taxes for this year.
So anyway, when I saw this thing, extreme left-wing views, I'm like, oh my God, are killing the show. I was like, wait, what? Okay, this sort of matches some emails, and I think this is about the people protesting in Lansing and open carrying, and I honestly, and I say this knowing that 44 capitals do not allow open carry. I don't know. I've never seen displays like that at a state capitol where
they want our guns,
where people are very angry at the legislators and they're carrying guns. I mean, it just doesn't. I just think it's a bad look. It's
wrong.
I don't understand what the. I mean, you can open carry virtually anywhere. There are lots of government buildings. There are lots of places you can, like the post office. So the state capitol building, I mean, lawmakers wearing a bulletproof vest.
To me, it's just one more thing you got to keep track of when you're out and about.
So that's probably my extreme left-wing view, I think. I don't know.
That's right.
Then, let's see. Okay, best produced and most talented podcast, but the virus nonsense is ruining the show. Their moral narcissism, comes through in half the bits. They're now shaming people that are not soft. I expect it from Mark, but even Brandon, my favorite, is frightened. It sounds like he's huddled in a closet.
I'm huddled in a basement.
Trudy.
And I don't have much of a choice. I had to make a decision, you know, based on my wife's health. And you know what? My wife's health is going to trump.
Well, you're soft. You're a pussy. You're soft.
Trudy's unchanged and now has the biggest balls on the show.
What? I do?
Is anyone else shocked to discover how soft and easily scared men have become?
Oh, if I got the biggest balls on the show, then I want the Manscaped device. They need to send me one.
I'm inclined to believe that you can't be listening to that. You can't be listening to that many shows. You can't be. Or is this all about the mask? Sure, is this all about wearing a mask?
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. I feel like the biggest job nowadays on social media is being a provocateur, is to cause trouble, stir up shit, get people to respond to you. Like the Redditor at Costco, his big deal was, I'm on Reddit, so come at me, because
And he's an asshole. He's being, the guy's trying to do his job and he's making him miserable and everyone else in the place is living with the regulations. Costco, believe me, Costco doesn't want to tell people to wear masks. Guessing there might even be some legal department things in there going, why don't we just be safe rather than sorry?
Just like state governments don't want to shut down.
Yeah, but the thing is, he gets kicked out, according to the guy there at the door who took.
That guy he doesn't take anything from him. No shit.
I guess the idea is you put a 1-star review up, and that way you can hurt us for saying the wrong thing.
What kind of jerk is this guy
that you didn't agree with? As they said, coronavirus is killing the show. I'm not ranting or outraged, but I just don't find it entertaining anymore. I listen daily. I'm done for at least a while. A real bummer for me. It was a big part of my day.
Well, if it's such a bummer, then why are you leaving?
No, come on.
So it's a bigger bummer now because we think people might want to wear masks around other people?
I guess the whole show hinges on wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. And by the way, if I start promoting not wearing a mask, then there's going to be those people.
We
shouldn't talk about masks.
Can I say one thing about masks? I'm still amazed that people are driving around in their car with their mask on.
Yeah.
Like, that just is very, by themselves, like no one else in the car. That just seems really weird to me.
Yeah, that's kind of dumb.
And pointless.
If I'd only know that the whole success hinged on not wearing a mask, I would have gotten on that 30 years ago. I don't wear a mask. I'll never wear a mask. As most of you know, our original and studio sponsor,
Pussy
Deals and the T.com, I can take it, is now open and honored to help you with all your automotive needs. Whether it's Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, Zot Toyota, they consider themselves now to be experts on social distancing and disinfecting. And they're doing that with the cars they deliver to you, the brand new cars, while they pick up your death trap and make it presentable for somebody else. Just go to dealsinthed.com and the deals, 0% financing for 84 months, zero due leases for under $200 a month.
Who made these deals?
Pretty cool. Let's see. Plus, right now, while several dealerships are still closed, all Zot dealerships can help renew your lease or even get you out of your lease early without penalty. Check it and surf the massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. Call Anthony, 248-215-5151. I know some of those leases are coming due. And the Hall Financial Hotline, of course, Carmine was on the Hall Financial Hotline.
Yep. And there was a new number, Brandon. You had the guy who delivered the pizza to Michael Jordan.
Well,
being maligned.
Yeah, he's come out basically to say, wait a minute, wait a minute, Michael Jordan. I delivered that pie. I made that pie. I didn't poison that pie. And there was only me and one other guy that delivered it, not five, you liar.
Wait. Okay, Michael didn't say that, though. That was the other guy that said that.
That five people were there? No, yes. But Michael said that he got sick after eating the pizza.
No, I know he said he got sick, but I mean, the guy said, I thought something was up when I saw five guys outside the room.
I think Pizza Hut should sue Michael Jordan for defamation.
Okay, do we really know that this guy made the pizza?
That's the best part.
Have we had a forensic accountant?
No. Ronan Farrow said this is the guy, so this is the guy. No, there's no checking needed.
Are you saying that we have this guy's phone number that made the pizza?
Well, I have multiple phone numbers.
Oh, okay. So that means it's pretty iffy.
He was on The Big Show. Does every sports channel have The Big Show in every market? Because this is in Salt Lake City, but he was on The Big Show, 1280 The Zone.
You know what?
Which I'm sure they vetted it to make sure he was the guy.
What I gleaned from that story that I thought was ridiculous was the guy calling in the order said, "Hey man, we need a pizza for Michael Jordan."
Yeah, why would they?
Who would do that? Why would you say that?
Well, no, as he explains in his story, they had gotten a call specifically to that hotel because the NBA Finals were such a big deal. They knew, hey, the Bulls are staying at that hotel. And then when they got there, they were hoping that they would take it to a Bull, and it just so happened that they did.
Well, so the guy decided to poison the pizza just in the hopes that it was Michael Jordan. And if he killed some other guy in the hotel, who cares?
Killed the Luke Longley, big fucking deal.
No, but he also explained that it would be very difficult to poison a pizza somehow.
It's ridiculous. He was not poisoned.
He did not make the pizza. No. He doesn't know what pizzas he made.
But do you think Jordan was poisoned? I don't think he was poisoned either.
Hey, I got three numbers if you want to get to the bottom of this.
Didn't you just say food poisoning? Can you get food poisoning from something that's accidentally like?
Oh, that's true.
Well, Brandon, you want to start dialing the numbers and I'll read the Hall Financial copy because these are probably going to be doo doo doots. What's the percentage? Give me the percentage up front.
Well, because I know that a couple other radio stations talk to him, I probably guarantee that one of these three is 100%.
All right.
Oh, wow.
All right, I'll back off. Meanwhile, David Hall and Hall Financial care about the community. That's why the team at Hall Financial is working from home around the clock to help people save money by refinancing. And they're doing more refis than they've done in years because people have some time. People are at home with a lot of their documents and things like that, which they do need some of that, but they're very good. They'll get it all up front, get it over with. There won't be somebody calling you every 4 hours asking for something new. If you haven't refinanced in the last year, Hall Financial thinks they might be able to help you. So why not just give it a shot?
That's the first one.
Oh, they got a busy signal. What, do they have a phone from 1980?
They're probably doing it. No, they're doing another interview right now with another radio station.
Oh, and the phone's busy instead of... They don't have call waiting?
One line.
If you're worried about coronavirus, don't. Homes can be appraised without someone setting foot inside your house. Appraisers are managing to get it done.
A number that is no longer in service.
They're the fastest in the business. Go to the webpage, click the logo to get started, fill out the online form, and they'll get back to you fast. 248-308-5000 if you want to call, or you can go to davidhallmortgage.com/Drew. Hall Financial, lower payments, better options, more personal attention. They are an equal housing lender, NMLS number 1467435.
That is no longer in service.
Oh, my God.
How many more numbers do you have, Brandon?
It's just that first one that's busy.
It's, like I said, that first one, it's definitely
busy.
Him.
Nobody's phone is busy. Michael
Jordan. He's on another call. What do you want?
Wait, so if I call you right now on the phone and you're on the phone, it'll give me a busy signal?
No, go to voicemail, because this is 2020.
I don't understand why we get a busy signal, line. Except that it's not him. In fact, it's probably not even a phone number.
And if you did, Michael, you'd be better than most players in the game. Excellence and perfection have become synonymous.
With your name. All right.
Michael. Hey there, Michael Jordan. There's nobody better than you. How many? many career points did he score? 32,292.
Yeah.
Three titles with the Bulls, and then you left to swing the bat. You came back to the NBA and you won three more, Michael. How about that? You were curious about how you do standing up at the plate. And if it weren't for that, you know what, Michael? You would have won eight straight. Hey there, Michael Jordan. There's nobody better than you. How many career points did he score? 32,292.
All right.
I guess I'll have to try that one later.
Trudy, do you want to take care of Dr. Roche?
Yeah, for sure. Are you going to glob?
Yeah, I'll go glob. Actually, I don't have any globs. I'm globbed out.
Oh, no.
Well, if only you knew somebody who had more globs.
I know.
That would be the offices of Dr. Roche. You could get globs there in the form of testosterone mix, or in the case of women, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, some of those other hormones that get really weak and low when we're tired and stressed. And HGH as well, that's part of the whole system. It gives you a younger feeling body, helps with hair growth and sexual activity and some of the other things that we crave of youth. And if you're soft because you've just been sitting around,
because you're wearing a mask,
you get out and start exercising. But because there's been a lot of sitting around lately, might be just quicker to snap back with a little help from our friends at Dr. Roche's office. They're doing phone consultations now. It's a faster way to get tighter and look hotter faster. Evolve is the triple threat against your COVID-19 quarantine body. Tighten skin deals with the cellulite and all those doughy abs. And BBL, of course, will brighten your skin and make you look, you know, more beautiful if you have to continue to work from home via the Zoom system. But all of these things are available through the offices of Dr. Roche. If you go to their website, find out what possible part of your body you would like to work on first, prioritize it, and then give them a call. They can consult you over the phone, 248-338-1110. And yeah, they have globs.
Put your best face and body forward, Dr. Gregory Roche.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, are you looking up more numbers for this guy?
Tough to say goodbye to Greg.
I thought I looked up and saw you searching more numbers for him.
You know what I think
I'll dial him really quick. I'm on your side.
Dude, I'm telling you, I found three numbers that appeared everywhere for the same dude, the only one in Utah with that name. I figured one of them had to work, right?
I do think it's amazing that nobody has challenged Jordan's story on this. It seems ludicrous.
It is ludicrous. He didn't get... if he got food poisoning, I don't know, it was probably from something else he ate. I don't think it was from that pizza.
Maybe because it was thin crust with extra pepperoni.
Well, he also, bad piece of pepperoni.
He also said that that the room was just one big
mess,
pillar of smoke, just cigar smoke.
God, wasn't that weird watching Jordan in the locker room just smoking on a cigar? Maybe because no one's allowed to smoke anywhere nowadays.
Well, it was crazier to see him smoking on an airplane. All of them. They were on an airplane sitting around the table. And they were
private plane, right? Yeah. That is weird.
Well, it was the team's plane.
Here's the other response from the Pizza Hut in Utah.
Good luck trying to get pepperoni in this town without a pube in it.
Dial this one here.
All right,
is it possible to get food poisoning from pepperoni, though, because it's just salt, right?
I don't know.
There's no food left in pepperoni, is there?
Whatever you say, someone will tell you you're wrong.
Oh, true, right?
That one's busy, too. Is that the same one?
No, it's his other phone. He's on two different radio station interviews right now.
He's on using two different phone lines?
Yeah.
Wait, maybe God that. Damn it. Maybe because that one was busy that this one will be free.
I'm telling you, it's totally him. I have everything. It's just these numbers are incorrect.
He also said, I think the story said that he claimed it was his first day at the Pizza Hut.
Oh, really?
There's so many holes in this story.
My first day.
What's that?
It's my first day.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Yes. You know what I noticed about trying to call people for anything these days is that they're blaming the fact that they don't have anybody to answer the phone on coronavirus now.
Brilliant.
Yeah, they're on reduced staff, right?
I tried to call Samsung today. By the way, they give you your choice of hold music, shitty jazz, shitty classic rock.
Why are you calling Samsung?
Oh, my refrigerator is crappy.
No, I called Home Depot again. Apparently, I'm not done going to Home Depot. And it kept ringing and ringing and ringing. That was the one in Southfield. So I decided to call the one in Madison Heights and merge the calls together so they were both ringing at the same time.
Brilliant.
And they just kept ringing for 10 minutes. And then I called the one in Troy and merged all three calls. And then finally that one picked up. So I had, you know, you could choose it. I thought it was a brilliant move on my part just to keep them all ringing.
Yeah, but couldn't those people who don't have jobs get jobs at call centers temporarily? I mean,
well, I'm calling the actual store. You know, there's people in there too.
I would think so. And I saw Steve Mnuchin today. Is he still the Treasury Secretary?
Yeah.
Okay. He said something about that if you're called back to work and you don't want to go, that you cannot collect unemployment.
Yeah, that's how it
works. Now, I assumed that was how it was going to work, but there's so much softness going on that I thought maybe they'd say, it's your option for the first month or something like that. It just seems like they're trying to work with people.
But if they're making, let's say it's, I don't know, a server position, right? And then let's say they're making more money right now, then just say, you know, I don't know. There's got to be a workaround for them.
Well, you know, some people can't go back to work because they have to, and other people that don't have to work. Or that have to work can't just say, I'm too scared, so I got to stay on unemployment.
Well,
that doesn't work very well.
Yeah. Really? It won't work that well?
I don't think so. I think you'll find a lot of people are a lot more scared than thought.
I think it depends if they're in a union, too. You keep seeing stories about X union doesn't want their employees to go back because it's not safe. It's like, well, yeah, but that's the job of a union.
The meatpacking thing, I got to say. There sure seems to be a lot of COVID at the meatpacking plants.
We have the meat.
Does that make you want to eat meat?
Well, no. I don't know. You know, I was thinking about this a lot today because that Ford thing came through. And actually, I felt really bad about it because I don't want the big three to be shut down or have a plant shut down every 3 days. But if somebody has COVID and they've got those watches they wear that tell them who they were within 6 feet of, and they corral those people and they disinfect wherever that guy was, do they really have to shut the whole plant down?
I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't think so either.
Unless they're shutting it down to find, you know, until they do that. I don't know why it would take that long or why.
I don't think
it'd be very cost ineffective to do that.
I mean, there are people softer than me, so it seems.
Well, really,
I have some breaking news.
Stung.
Breaking red shovel news.
Hey, just right here, some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. And shit.
It may not be as simple as wearing or not wearing a mask, the success of the podcast, because we're number 96 on Apple in the comedy category. That's pretty good. We're on more charts than I've never seen us on so many charts. We're on Canada, number 220.
Whoa.
We're on Spotify Music.
Okay, bye.
Spotify Music number 43. I don't even know what that is. Canada Spotify Music 63. Couldn't we just get on Spotify? That would be better. Spotify.
Yeah, for 100 million?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think we have
I
that.
I love the Who.
I don't think we have that many downloads. But anyway, so that's good news. It's not, is this the bad one-star reviews? It's not fatal. Not yet. Now, I mentioned the Joe Rogan news, which I thought was really cool. And then all of a sudden I get on this story. I was just about to watch Trial by Media.
Yeah.
And I bump into this story and I can't stop reading it. I just got completely stuck in it. And I think it's an interesting story for everybody. Because all of you listen to podcasts. If you listen to us, you probably listen to other ones. And by the way, what was
story?
The story? What was the trial by media? It was the New Bedford.
What story?
The New Bedford pool table rape.
Dan's Tavern. Yeah, which the movie The Accused with Jodie Foster. By the way, who did the casting for that movie? Jodie Foster, you know, gets gang raped or people cheer.
Jodie Foster, that seems like terrible casting.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah, she doesn't look gang rapeable?
She was in The Accused.
Well, she doesn't.
Outrageous.
I don't want to get into that, but anyway.
Well, didn't she? Wait, she was nominated, wasn't she?
Was she nominated?
I'll have to look it up. Anyway, that whole movie was based on this situation in New Bedford. And I was telling Drew, he needs to watch this episode because, you know, your new take about the United States of Assholes, I really think you can see the seeds of that in the whole New Bedford story and what happened.
Oh, boy.
In the mid-80s with this gang rape, because immediately it's, you know, there's a lot of victim blaming where, well, she wanted it. What's she doing in a bar by herself? And you can't hit on guys. And these are women. That's how the women talk in New Bedford.
Oh, yeah, some, there are some great Boston accents, because I was rolling it for a while as I was reading, and I kept realizing that I was dreamweavering the trial by media, so I kept rewinding it, and oh, my God, the Boston accents are awesome.
Let me cue it up, but then...
You know what else the Boston accents are awesome on? Any documentary or show you see about the girl who had her three high school students shoot her husband and her dog's name?
Yeah, with Bill Spencer.
Her dog's name was Van Halen, I think, or something.
Oh, what?
Pamela Smart.
Yeah. There's some great Boston accents in any form of that station.
I like to call it the Bill Spencer story.
Oh, that's right. That is his story.
Yeah, he was all over that. He actually turned that thing around because Bill was a reporter. Bill from Channel 7. He's now in San Antonio or Austin. I think he's in San Antonio. Bill found out that they had made an arrest in the murder of her husband. And Bill went to her door, rang the doorbell and said, "They've made an arrest in the shooting of your husband." And then he said the name, and she was not excited at all. She was like, she looked like a deer in headlights. And so people saw that and were like, wow,
guilty.
That was weird. Yeah. And they said guilty. They said that too. So
just looking for some men on the street here.
She wasn't really the smartest criminal mind.
No, they weren't. She wasn't either. She still swears she's innocent. You know, she probably could get out if she said, I was the mastermind.
Probably get out if she has coronavirus or thinks she's susceptible.
I have to be honest with you. I think it'd be a hell of a lot safer to let her out than Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, I hate that guy.
Not like she's going to kill another husband, right?
I don't think so.
And well, she's not as hot either,
so I think her options are limited, being a murderer and being 35 years older.
A nice shot of a Diane Sawyer back in the day.
Not often that an individual rape case evokes widespread demonstrations of outrage, but one case in Massachusetts has unleashed a storm of protest. Steve Young tells us why.
2,500 people turned out to protest the gang rape of a 21-year-old woman in a bar in the fishing town of New Bedford. Organized as a silent vigil, feelings of fury could not be contained.
I think that this demonstration is beautiful. It shows that people really care.
Cases have gone unsolved. Women are afraid to fight.
The highlight is going to be this guy that was on Donahue, if I can find it. Oh, yeah, so everybody apparently is Portuguese in this town, too.
Yeah, the rapists were Portuguese, weren't they?
They were immigrant, and the Portuguese population was not happy that they kept saying they were Portuguese immigrants, which sounds awfully familiar to, like, today.
Yeah,
like what people would say today.
Against the Portuguese people here.
When he came out, that there were
some nice clips of people on the radio.
To hear their opinions. It got to be pretty angry for a while.
It's the open line talk show. Let's take some more phone calls.
They contribute nothing to this country. They don't understand our ways, nor do they want to understand that this country is...
Phone lines are going crazy!
They buy a broken down house, and they fix it up beautifully. They do all these nice things. But they don't try to learn the law of the land. They don't try to...
Next, Connor, what's your question?
...in the community.
We were looked at as not being civilized.
Right, here's Donahue, which I said to Drew.
It's Donahue. He should come back.
When I was, I didn't know if he was alive or dead watching this last night. I'm like, did Phil Donahue die and I miss it? Or is he alive and doing stuff and I'm missing that?
How could Phil Donahue be so inactive? Doesn't seem like he'd be doing something, Trudy.
84.
Yeah, but
he has to be dead. He's dead, right? He's got to be dead.
No,
he's alive. No. If Come anything, on. He should
he
be
Marlo
doing...
Thomas are still banging.
No,
they are.
I think she's pregnant.
Could be. She looks ridiculous for her age. I mean, she doesn't look anywhere near her age.
No, but she has that deep, deep, deep voice now. It's like,
and you know, she's had, God bless Marlo Thomas. She's had to live with the her father liking people to defecate on a glass table right. while he's underneath with his mouth open.
You sure she's not pregnant? Because I remember this phone call that hit the internet where she's calling her doctor, I think.
This is your doctor.
I have your pregnancy report here. And guess what? You got knocked up.
Who is this?
This is Dr. Chim. Dr. Chim Richards. Richards? I'm a professional doctor. You saw me? You don't remember.
Wait. You should move. You should get out of the business.
This is pathetic.
You're pathetic.
I got to see Anchorman again.
What a great
I haven't
doctor.
Seen it in a while.
All right, here's Donahue.
On March 6th of 1983, a woman walked into Big Dan's Tavern, and what happened
all
after
I see is
that
Phil Hartman
is,
now.
As in all these cases,
I know. He was so
in some
good.
Dispute right now.
At first, we had great sympathy for the victim in this case.
The assistant DA.
She was violated. She could be standing there asking for it unless they left the public bar that they were in, she was violated. She was violated not only by one man, but she was violated by six men.
And then there developed a public backlash. And you saw this particular swing of the pendulum.
Just like
Some
it would today.
People have asked, did she ask for it? What was she wearing? Why was she alone? Did she know anybody in the bar? Does that matter?
You started to hear things about the poor victim in this case.
Donahue
public
strolling.
Questions about her history, her reasons for being in that bar, what seemed to me to be totally baseless accusations about her.
When's rape? You know, you got a maybe she went in and wanted to lay a couple of guys and it got out of hand. I don't know, you know.
I don't know.
That became the public conversation. And
I mean, that guy is straight out of Central Casting. He's got a like a vest, like a puffy vest that's open.
You think he was a hired hand to be a lightning rod?
If he is, they got the most stereotypical
awesome.
Person. When's rape?
When's rape? You know, she wants to lay a couple. He said, lay a couple, dude.
You got a maybe she went in and want to lay a couple of guys and got out of hand.
Got out of
a couple of guys.
Know, got out of hand. I can't get
that
enough dick.
The
more.
Public
just going,
conversation
it
and
I seen it.
Of
I got
just,
one question for all of you. Who let the dogs out?
Causes rape. When people like you can stand up.
Do you know the story?
I don't know the story. I know the story. Well, then you should read the paper.
I seen girls. Do this.
Yeah, but don't get crazy now. We're here to learn.
Donahue actually had to calm that guy down. I seen it happen, man. I just watching this episode.
I want a forensic accountant to find out when he's seen that happen.
He ain't never seen it. He said he doesn't know the story, too. That's the amazing thing.
What's he doing there? I just want to find out what happened in this story.
I got free t-shirts.
I know chicks that go in and want to lay a couple guys. It gets out of hand.
It's also really fascinating, too, because this was the first televised rape case, and I feel bad about this, but I laughed out loud when it happened because I never, you know, you wouldn't think this would happen. This judge is like, well, I decided we're going to have it televised. I sat with the media, and I said, you go one camera angle. You cannot show her face. That's it. And they agreed to it, and they start the trial. And, like, the fourth question is on when she's on the stand, the victim's on the stand. They go, and what's your name? She says her name, and how do you spell that, and where do you live? So just like that, all of her information was on national TV.
Oh, God.
And the judge was like, nice. Yeah, I just assumed that they knew not to air her name.
Oh, for Christ's
But me. As we know, they can never edit anything out of a live broadcast, even now. You know, they don't want to. But it's crazy. You know, that guy was talking about the pendulum swinging, and it swings back a couple times, because spoiler alert, some of the guys were convicted for aggravated rape. And then there was a massive backlash about the convictions because they were Portuguese and that community got behind them. And these poor things, these terrible things that they did to these boys, you know, that this girl made up. And it's, you know, that's after the trial. I mean, you see people jump to conclusions.
Well, they act like it was a
trial.
Cultural thing, like, you know, hey, a pool table's in Portugal. This is everyday stuff.
It's watching this through the lens of where we are today. It was really fascinating for any nerds out there that want to see it.
I will absolutely watch it. How many of those trial by medias are good? Because there's a number of episodes, and I watched the one about that crazy guy in Alabama.
That one's really good. I kind of like this one the best just because...
Oh, I'm pumped.
I didn't know the story. I know you said you were working around there then, were you?
Yeah. Well, not right then, but I mean, I think I was working in radio when that was going on. What year was that?
Mid-80s, I think. 84, 85, 86.
I think I was in Charlotte or maybe... No, I think I was in Roanoke, actually. But the story was huge. I mean, it was a monstrously big story.
That
one's Trudy,
good.
You remember, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Richard Scrushy's a good one, too.
Yeah. Oh, really good. Trudy, did you think that maybe she went in there wanting to lay a couple guys and it got out of hand?
I've seen it.
Like two or three guys, for sure.
I love how reluctant that guy was in making that statement, but then he just said, fuck it. I'm just going to say it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the story.
Was he wearing a down vest?
Yeah. And he had sunglasses in his hand, so he took them off.
He was wearing them before, though, wasn't
he?
I think he's got a little...
I love the terminology, the wanting to lay a couple guys.
Well, you know, it happens, and it got out of hand. It got out of hand.
He's got kind of an early Bezos look.
How does it get out of hand?
I know, it's crazy.
What a
and on that disease. Note, Drew, you also have to catch the latest episode of Dark Side of the Ring. I think it was the finale. A lot of people sent it in. A lot of people said they know that you've seen a couple episodes. Well, this one's on Owen Hart, and it's one of the wildest stories. And
Cool. Don't give it away. I definitely want to watch it right after the show, and I'll watch Trial by Media as well. You know, when I talked about Joe Rogan and the $100 million deal at Spotify, there was big news, and, you know, honestly, it's great to see big news about podcasts, because I'm trying to think of the last time I really read much about a radio host. I mean, how many stories are, you know, Mojo had his 20-year anniversary.
Yeah, that
good
was
for
nice.
Him.
That was good, yeah.
I mean, here and there, but to see two huge stories, these are national stories in one day, the Rogan story, which is just fantastic. And then the other story, I was a little mixed on. Has anybody heard the Call Her Daddy podcast?
Yeah.
Oh.
Barstool.
Yeah, it's on Barstool. Have you listened to it, Brandon?
A long time ago. It just wasn't, I don't know. I didn't really like it too much because it didn't seem like I was in the demo for it.
Yeah, I guess you say it. Trudy, have you listened to it?
Call Her Daddy?
Call Her Daddy.
It's a couple chicks.
Okay, it's two girls who live in New York City.
They want to lay a couple guys. Sometimes it gets out of hand.
That could happen to them. They're 27 and 26 years old. They're really good friends.
They're smoking hot.
They're very pretty. And they talk about sex, dating, culture, and life in New York City. I think really talk about sex a lot.
Aren't there a bunch of podcasts?
Yes, there are. And okay. I got to tell you, this is a real easy way to get a lot of people quick.
Isn't there a real
thing? It's very much like Guys We Banged
or Guys We Fucked.
Yeah, okay, yeah. By the way, Guys We Fucked, which was the number one podcast, it was actually ahead of Joe Rogan briefly. Mm. And every time I see that when something jumps out of Joe Rogan always jumps back. It's just that they give all these points for new subscribers.
Yeah.
So if you bring a bunch of new people, even though you have half the people that are listening to Joe Rogan, it'll bump you up there. And that's what happened with Guys We Fucked. And I just checked because I was real curious about that. I was like, this show is a lot younger than Guys We Fucked. And Guys We Fucked is no longer, I don't even think it's in the top 100 anymore. Let's see.
They can't do anything during coronavirus, so that really shuts them down.
Well, it's also worth noting that the Call Her Daddy podcast did jump ahead of Joe Rogan the other day
Wait, not the other day. The other day?
Mm-hmm.
Is that because
of everything.
Yeah, I'll explain that. Guys We Fucked, which was, again, it was top 20, it was top 10 for a while. It's now 129. Let's see. What else does it have?
Find some guys to lay.
Spotify, it's 51. That's pretty good. But I mean, it's definitely drifting the other way because I think they're running out of guys that they fucked. Mm-hmm. They should probably bring some guest whores on.
Oh, that's brilliant, yeah.
Caller Daddy is these two girls in New York. They're good friends. You know, I think my inclination is to be a little jealous of them because they're so young and they just start a podcast and they just start yapping about, you know, guys they play around with.
Sure.
And, you know, dating in New York City. So it's sort of a, I think they're trying for the Sex in the City thing, but with a little more sass.
Neat.
Yeah.
And it also helps that they're so hot that one gets to bang Noah Syndergaard of the New York Mets and the other one gets to bang some high executive at HBO. And
the guy, okay, I'll get to the guy at HBO who's a total tool. In fact, Mark, look up Peter Nelson HBO and tell
just look
me
at this, his face.
This is not good imaging for Caller Daddy. That's not what, and they call him Suit Man, I think. They're playing the Mr. Big thing from Sex and the City.
This dude?
Yeah, that tool.
He's got weird bone structure as well. He looks like Andre the Giant.
There's
was never a giant.
There's Brandon commenting on a guy's bone structure again.
Take a look at the guy's face and tell me it doesn't pop into your head.
Nobody can analyze a guy's looks or penis like Brandon.
Or bone structure.
It's amazing.
His face is bigger on the bottom than it is at the top. So he has six.
Yeah, it is.
He looks okay. And the story gets better because of this guy. So they start this podcast. They go on vacation. They go, let's do a podcast. So they start podcasting, and somebody picks it up right away and did a little story on it. And so it's getting a bunch of downloads, a lot of downloads. And Barstool hears it. And Barstool, knowing the Barstool audience, just figures, hey, this would be a great Barstool show. So Barstool acquires the show. And on the Barstool platform, it jumps to 2 million downloads. In 2 months.
Wow.
And
good job.
It was consistently a top 20 Apple podcast, and they describe it as female locker room talk. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to think, why is this show? Well, it annoys me that these girls just talking about their escapades with dudes is bringing them all these downloads. But I listened to it for a while today.
What if guys did that? I mean, we used to back in the day. But now if a guy talks about all the rest.
Oh, if you had a show where you did that?
You're just a pig.
No, you would be.
I mean, I don't.
I'm not sure there'd be a platform that would really want it, to be honest, because it'd be a problem.
Are you bummed out?
Am I bummed out?
No, I don't really care. I just think it's, you know.
Nostalgic. He's like, well, we used to be able to.
The good old days when you were allowed to be a pig.
Yeah, I think it would be a problem for guys. It definitely would. Yeah. If they were as open as these girls are. But there's a lot of likes, and I don't. Sometimes they sound so stupid. Well,
you were listening to it upstairs, and I honestly came and go. Why are you? I said, why are you listening to the Morning Toast? I thought you were listening to Morning Toast.
It's a little more. I think it's a little better than the Morning Toast, which, by the way, is popular too.
Good morning, millennials.
Okay, so it, all of a sudden, it's doing 2 million downloads. It's a top 20 podcast. They made a lot of money last year. Their first year with Barstool and Dave Portnoy. They made, I think they said, about $500,000 a piece. Well, this just came out because something happened, and Portnoy was forced to come out and talk about the show. And when he revealed how much they were paid last year, a lot of their audience was really pissed because they talk about being poor girls in New York City.
Oh.
And, you know, this one girl's dating an HBO executive now.
Yeah.
And anyway, so it's, I think the veneer's coming off a little bit, but not only that, they had a deal with Barstool, and in April, I guess they just walked off. They just said.
A 3-year deal. Yeah, they're right in the middle of a 3-year deal.
Yeah, and well, they think that they're underpaid.
Well, the claim was that this Peter Nelson was shopping them while they had a contract.
The HBO stud suitcase or suit man was shopping the show to other platforms and telling them, you got to get out of this thing. You just be your own company. You don't need Barstool.
He's right. Barstool, but they had a contract. So.
Well, Barstool took them from, I think they said 12,000 downloads to 2 million. So Barstool deserves a little credit here. Well,
they deserve a lot of the credit, if not all of it. But I mean, they're talent, so they get some. But I think the point being is that now that they're a name, you would rather own it than have someone else own it.
And the interesting discussion about this was, they both have 1 million Instagram followers now.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, we're social media stars and we're influencers and we don't need you, Barstool.
Yeah, but you are because of Barstool.
Well, yeah, that's kind of.
I wouldn't want to go against.
I
wouldn't want to go against Barstool if I were them.
Their fans are rabid. Their fans remind me of like how rabid Stearns fans were in the 80s and 90s, to the point where anytime anybody comes after them on like social media, boom, you're getting pounded. I mean, Dave Portnoy has a guy on his staff, like a 60-year-old man. His entire job is just to meme people to death on on Twitter.
Oh, we need that guy.
Yeah. And his memes are really funny because he does these live action memes that just totally destroy the people, the ire of Dave Portnoy.
Well, anyway, you know, so you think all is good. They're making a lot of money. They got all these followers now. They're influencers. They're 27, 26 years old. They're hot. They got it all. And then all of a sudden they decide we're not doing any more podcasts. April 8th, they did their last show. And so Barstool's like, what?
We have a deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And meanwhile, they find out that this guy from HBO, this executive at HBO, and I'll get to him. He's annoying as hell.
God, he's awful. He seems awful.
He has apparently told them that, you know, this deal's bullshit and you're worth so much more. I think he thinks he's negotiating. He's going to show her how this should be done. Mr. Executive is going to show his little girlfriend, who he has no business being with, by the way. He's not, I mean, he's so out of her league. She is out of his league, I mean. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's a
blockhead.
I mean,
it's not even close. Yeah. And now that she's got money. It's not like his money even means anything. So anyway, they do the last podcast. And so weeks go by. There's no new podcast. Barstool apparently had advertising sold that was worth $100,000 an episode. So Barstool, they missed, they do 52 shows a year, so the shows bring in $5 million.
Yeah,
and but that's Barstool sales staff. They're getting them national ads,
sure.
And so Barstool had lost $700,000 when Portnoy just said, "Okay, enough of this bullshit," and he went on the platform and did a 30-minute kind of a tell-all and said that their deal was ironclad. They were disloyal, greedy, and unprofessional, among other things.
Okay,
Barstool. I guess 35% of Barstool's money comes from podcasts, which is up. I guess it's becoming a bigger part of Barstool. And Caller Daddy was the top podcast on Barstool. So Portnoy had offered them, because at some point it became apparent that, hey, we're not getting paid enough. You're making all the money. So Portnoy, I guess this is in the middle of the contract, offers them $500,000 salaries plus bonuses based on downloading and such.
Yeah.
That he said he thought would net them millions of dollars. A few million dollars a year.
Wow.
Which, you know, but you don't have the risk. If you sign a 3-year deal with Barstool, you know, these girls, as apparently entertaining as they are, and I think they're good at what they do. I'm not saying they're not good or there's nothing to it. That, you know, if you look at Guys We Fucked.
Yeah.
Guys We Fucked. In fact, I've tweeted it out when we have a good week or something, we're number 95 or something like that. I'll tweet it out, and I noticed a couple times we're right next to Guys We Fucked.
Damn.
And people always make comments about it. But Guys We Fucked used to be a $100,000 show podcast too. But the thing is, the premise is a little thin, and you know, it just people I guess got bored of it. So apparently, these girls just think that they're, you know, now there are these influencers, hot shots, that, you know, they should be making $20,000 a post and, you know, they should be paid more for the podcast. So anyway, the one girl, let's see, her name is Alex Cooper. She says, you know what, this is a great deal. I got to sign this deal. She signs the deal separately.
And Alex is the one who is banging Noah Syndergaard.
That's Sophia. I think
other way around. Sophia signed the deal.
Signed the deal. Okay.
She agreed to Barstool's terms.
Sophia signed the deal. Alex, with the Mr. HBO exec boyfriend, he advised her against.
I'm reading it. It says on Monday, Sophia agreed to the financial terms of Barstool's offer, but hasn't heard back from them.
Oh, well, is she the second one to agree?
Well,
then?
Maybe they both agreed.
Maybe that's what it is.
Oh no, you're right. Cooper agreed first. So then Sophia said, "Okay, I'll do it." You're right. Okay, sorry.
Oh, Greg. I didn't know the second one had agreed.
Just on Monday.
Okay,
but she hasn't heard back from Barstool. it sounds like the other girl doesn't want her back now.
Yeah,
no, they hate each other.
The girls are now mortal enemies because the girl that didn't sign has been sending out stuff on Instagram saying that Alex, she's gone behind my back, and this isn't the first time.
God.
So she feels like this girl has screwed her by signing her own deal because they couldn't agree. And this girl said, I can't walk away from $500,000, possibly millions of dollars. I mean, likely over seven figures. I guess it sounds like they both would easily make seven figures. And I think Portnoy agreed he would take one. If they both wouldn't sign, he would take one.
Yeah.
And like in fact, it sounds like Portnoy's trying to wheel and deal this thing so that they're separate podcasts fighting against each other.
That's smart.
Yeah. No, he knows
what
he's doing.
Say what you want about him. He can be a pretty smart guy. I mean, the way he's built the whole thing is just brilliant.
Yeah. No, he's done a phenomenal job. And, I you know, like I said last week, he had that super, super viral post. I think it had over 3 million views.
I'm just waiting for him to sponsor or buy one of the coaching rights names at his beloved university.
He also...
Could you imagine the Barstool head football coach at the University of Michigan?
No, they wouldn't accept his money.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. Because it's Barstool. Because of all those terrible things they've done in the past.
But it's money.
Well, now, no, you might be right, Mark. Now you might be right.
I mean, I wouldn't put it, he should absolutely do it. Although I don't know what's left to be open, but he should sponsor a coach.
Recently,
we're looking at money.
Roger Goodell had auctioned off watching Monday Night Football with him at his home, and Portnoy bid $250,000 and won. So I don't know how that's going to work
out.
That's
great.
But anyway, I think the most annoying person in this whole story is the 38-year-old HBO executive boyfriend, who went to Harvard, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I think he speaks ancient Greek.
that's useful. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That's the point.
And he supports the American Ballet Theater.
Wow. Wow.
Soft. He probably wears a mask, too.
And he's...
pussy.
Over that giant face.
HBO... They don't do that much sports, do they? Real sports?
They had boxing.
They mentioned a couple shows.
Andre the Giant. He greenlit the Andre the Giant documentary. Which,
oh, he did?
Who the fuck wouldn't?
Whatever. Anyway, he just did an interview about the sports industry and broadcasting, and apparently his big point was that we need to do a better job of elevating women's stories.
Whoa.
Like my girlfriend, who's a hot piece of ass. No.
Whatever. I guess that's the right thing to say. But
yeah, but
wrong.
The question is he going to do it? No, he won't do it.
Probably not. I don't know. He might. But anyway.
I don't know. Maybe he's a sharp guy. Let's see. Let's see how smart this dude is. This is something on YouTube here with a stupidly long intro.
Wow.
How do I just know I'm going to hate this guy?
In the 23rd book of Homer's Iliad, is found to kind of play within a play. War within the Trojan War.
I'll smash his face until he's dead! In literature.
He's starting by talking about the 23rd book of the Iliad.
Fast forward a few thousand years to this past May 2nd, and over the course of 47 minutes, the U.S. economy experienced a flash crash.
Why you look different?
Hundreds of millions of dollars that went virtually unnoticed because it came under the guise of a sporting event.
He really looks like he's about to...
I think you're really ugly.
It looks like he's about to put himself asleep the way he talks. Look at his eyes.
A 12-round euphemism for dashed expectations.
Oh, I love your face. It's so unusual.
Mayweather versus Pacquiao. Now, how much humanity...
He looks like a guy
that
has really bad vision, wore glasses, and now he's wearing contacts and he can barely open his eyes because his vision's so bad.
This much is
certain. He's not used to being without glasses.
The sport has come a long way.
What are you talking about?
Ways in which we monetize our passion for sport.
I'd rather listen to Call Her Daddy, to be honest. Cynicism.
I'd rather listen to the Gen Z guy.
Why do we ascribe near
Jonah Stillman?
Jonah, at least he's got the energy.
I kind of want to watch this whole 18 minutes just to see how much bullshit he's...
Mark, you have more things to do with your life than that.
I'm just going to jump forward. Let's see what he's talking about. Let's see it.
Shit!
Why is a dry hole? Let it go.
Oh, that was on your phone. Yeah, boy. Oh, they're going to have another...
You look worse than that Rocky Dennis kid from Mask.
Hang on a sec. What did you guys do? Did you guys just have a huge spill?
You guys?
Yeah.
You guys.
Did they ever cock this board?
No.
That's the biggest disaster possibly ever.
Oh!
Oh! Oh. What is it, coffee?
Uh-oh.
No, it's a Diet Coke, and the reeds are just soaked. Oh. But I ran over here because in Drew's haste to run upstairs to grab paper towels, of which I think I have some down here. In his haste, he just left his cigarette burning on top of paper.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So.
Drew, there's paper towels down here.
Diet Coke and Cokes are the worst. Remember Sherry used to say, you know, like if it didn't have sugar in it, because sugar just kills electronics.
Yeah.
Who has put pubic hair on my Coke?
Well, I was telling him how you left your cigarette just burning on top of that paper.
I've come across a lot of newspapers that have burn holes in them, or books with burn holes in them from Drew.
Or carpets with burn holes in them from...
Cybill Shepherd?
Cybill Shepherd, yeah. She was an animal.
Clark used to fall asleep with a cigarette in his hand, and it was burning at the time next to, like, a newspaper.
Yeah, he's burned his hand. Oh, boy. Times. Well, he burned his balls. Remember the time he burned his balls?
No.
He was smoking on his own toilet at home.
Oh, my God.
And, I don't remember that
time. He was ashing. It was the toilet paper that wasn't fully submerged lit on fire.
Oh, my God. Wow. Is that... Did he recount that on the air?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for listening to the show.
Oh, fuck.
You know, actually, I would feel bad for Trudy at times. Man, if that was a thing back in the day, you would have gotten hit with it a lot, because you would leave to work on the news and put the news together and compile it and do all that. So you'd miss huge segments of the show.
I know. You know what I did catch from yesterday's show that was absolutely the most charming thing I'd ever heard? The bubble tunnel car wash.
The bubble tunnel car wash.
Yeah.
Bubble tunnel car wash.
That was the incentive for Drew, right?
Yeah. I used to get freebies to the bubble tunnel car wash. And I was like, oh my God, that's the coolest thought. I want one of those, a bubble tunnel car wash.
What kind of benefit was that, Drew?
Unlimited car washes, the bubble tunnel car wash.
Yeah, but didn't he call it some kind of benefit?
No, he said there were psychic benefits too.
What the fuck does that mean?
Oh, well, my God.
Red Shovel Network has psychic benefits, now that I think about it.
This song always makes me think of one of our best listeners ever. Rest in peace, Car Wash Joe.
Yeah.
Car Wash. Hire hand clappers for this, too.
I wish we were on Facebook Live now. Just watch Drew cleaning up a giant mess. I think you got it.
How do you get, like, 36 ounces out of a 12-ounce can when you spill it? There's so much Diet Coke here.
I'll take the blame, because I was boring you to death with Peter Nelson's talk. All right.
Very funky.
How long is this damn intro?
I know, it is really long. You'd have to talk forever. What could you get into?
Car Wash Joe's been dead for maybe a decade and a half.
Good health, too. He's very Mrs. Daybell-esque.
For those that couldn't hear, Drew said he was in very good health, which he wasn't. Very low energy. Good sense of humor, though.
He was a winner on the air.
Oh, he was just, he was grand.
He was gold.
And he had the 13-inch black and white.
I know.
Which was just taken as fact. You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
How is there still Diet Coke in that can?
I don't know. It's incredible. How could that only be 12 ounces?
Oh yeah! Oh no! You got it on the draft battle trophy. What a shame!
God, what a mess!
You got it on our spot rates too.
Oh, you need to get that off though, because I dropped
what?
The logbook. I don't know if you were done. Were you done with the spots or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just I got one eyedropper worth of Red Bull in my car, like the little toggle switch that changes in between listening to the podcast and listening to the radio. It's never been right.
No, you're stuck.
Yeah,
you're stuck forever. Listening to the radio forever. Good luck with that. That'll be fine. You'll be fine.
I caught some Dave and Chuck today.
Oh, what was going on there?
They were doing a bit.
Had to do with the penis, right?
Yes.
Of course.
Seriously?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. They were talking about this couple that got home at 1 o'clock in the morning, and the female wanted to go.
Oh, sounds like a great one.
To a swinger party. And so I think he ended up roughing her up because he was mad he didn't want to go. So then,
what a fun story!
The object of the bit was: is he hot, or are they hot, or is he hot?
That's okay. Yeah, does he have good bone structure?
Yeah, I wish Brandon could have participated.
Hmm.
That's an okay.
Yeah, it was
okay
all right.
Topic. I don't have a problem with that.
I can't say I was scintillated, but
is he hot? Like they were judging his photo?
Yeah,
presumably? Yeah. There was a photo of him. It was a mugshot, I think.
Oh, mugshot. Okay, yeah, okay. I wonder if he was. I don't care that much.
I just really wouldn't have expected him to be hot, but you know, I guess if you pick the right story, you could have hot people.
Hey. This just in, Sammy has canceled, Nickelback has canceled, and now the Black Crowes are...
What, their careers? Nickelback canceled their career? What'd they cancel?
Wait a minute, I thought we canceled them. It went the
other way. Was it Sammy Hagar, Nickelback, and who?
And the Black Crowes just now. Postponed till 2021. So.
Can they stop sending postpone cancellations of concerts and just start sending them when they're back going again? Because what concert is going? No concerts are going.
Yeah, but the upside is that most of them, like Sammy and the other guys, are saying at the same time in Green Day that you could get a refund. They're sending information.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Regarding your ticket refunds. And canceled. Gotcha.
Well, I was almost going to just give up on the show after that incident. Pissed. Is that two shows in a row? Or is that two out of three? When did I spill the coffee?
It seemed like a while ago.
Yeah, I guess.
No, it was last time we had Maz on the phone. That was like a week ago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was a good.
He ghosted while ago. Us.
Yeah, should we call him, by the way? This is a ghosting, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't want him to win.
No. Okay, then don't call him.
Kevin Osmond won't rest in peace.
That is true. Yeah, Eddie Haskell will never find peace if Tom does.
Somebody's
going to
tell him anyway.
Oh, they already have.
All right.
They always do. Call him.
Let's stop talking about him then.
You want to call him? We can call him.
No, because he's not going to answer the phone. Right? Isn't he going to just ghost us again?
Oh, there's only one way to find out.
If he wants to screw Ken Osmond.
We could just call him.
Eddie Haskell.
We could just call him when he answers. Hang up. How childish.
Anyway, I was going to launch into this thing. It's funny. I got stuck on that silly podcast. Call him daddy.
Call me daddy.
Call me daddy.
Call her daddy.
Call her daddy.
Call her daddy.
And I just found that story to be so bizarre. I mean, thinking about being that age when I was her age.
Daddy.
When I was at WRV making $200 a week and getting the multiple car washes at the Bubble Tunnel Car Wash, plus the psychic benefits.
Cool.
That was about standard. I mean, Trudy, you had those small market jobs, didn't you?
Oh, hell yeah. I started out in Toledo, so.
Toledo's not a bad place to start.
I guess not. No, we just, you know, you have a lot of bar benefits is sort of what it was then, you know.
Did you have health insurance?
I don't remember.
I mean, honestly, when I look back at it, I go, I can't believe I hung in there with this for as long as I did. Because I was, let's see, I was 6 years out of college, making like $250 a week.
Yeah.
In 1986. Yeah. And then I got a big fat raise to go to Charlotte. And then it was like, oh, I'm in. I got it made. Because I think I was making $40,000.
Charlotte.
It's like, yeah.
When I worked at IOT, too, the Paul W. Smith worked at the AM station.
Oh, really? Oh, that reminds us.
Yeah.
There's the dumbest.
Somebody was on there trolling, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Not really. It was not open trolling.
No, but it was one we would get.
We would know it was somebody.
There's another really good celebrity battle that involves the media, too, and that's Chrissy Teigen and that.
Yeah.
Did you see she's been
suspended from the New York Times?
So what it was, remember Chrissy Teigen? I think we talked about it when she quit social media for like 8 hours.
Yeah.
She was going to take a break and made a big pronouncement, and then she came back because she accepted an apology.
Right.
Because the lady, is she a chef or a cook? She writes a column for the Times, and she's mad at the celebrity cookbook that people buy because there's some dope on it like Chrissy Teigen.
I know exactly where she's coming from. She has worked her way up and probably cooked her way up, and she's worked years and years and years to get where she is, and it's kind of like, you know, call me daddy.
Yeah.
It's a different version of that. So Chrissy Teigen, with her million Instagram followers, says, I got a cookbook. And it goes to number one. It was number one, or it was, I know a lot of people bought it.
Oh, yeah.
It. And then she has a line of Tupperware and, you know, and the money just, it's like the world just starts throwing money at her.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman expressed her annoyance at that. And Chrissy Teigen, she was so hurt because Chrissy Teigen acknowledges that, yeah, I look up to her. She's the queen bee in the cookbook business, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about it. But she sort of proves her point that, you know, should she really have them? But this is what the celebrities do now. They steal the children's books. Remember when
children too.
When child book authors used to write the child's book, the children's books?
Yeah.
Now it's
Chelsea Clinton.
Paul McCartney.
Jimmy Fallon with the dumbest books ever. It just says Mama and Dada over and over and over. Oh my God. I can't believe he's. And then podcasts too. They stole podcasts. You know what else pisses me off that they steal? This is voice roles for animated features. That actually pisses me off. I don't know why, but you know, back in the day, you would have a cartoon and maybe get somebody like Billy West who can do really good voices or something like that. And nowadays, anytime there's a movie, we got to put all the famous celebrities in it just to make
Tom
sure.
Tom Hanks can do his Tom Hanks voice and he gets a role in one of these things.
He's Woody from Toy Story. Wasn't The Rock was great as Maui? You know
How do you find the new Mel Blanc who can do a million different voices? Jim Carrey, sure, he probably does cool voices for stuff like that, but it is amazing what being a celebrity does for you now, and what it does for your kids.
Yeah. So this lady, I don't even know her name. I maybe should mention her name, Allison.
Roman.
Allison Roman got suspended by the New York Times today.
And I saw that.
Nobody knows why, but they think it's because she said this about Chrissy Teigen.
She dissed Chrissy Teigen.
Then there's some theory that it's because she also said some stuff about that Marie Kondo lady.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The Japanese
I watched that show.
Yeah, it was a stupid show, by the way. So because she said these two things about these Asian women, that's why she is now suspended. And as pissed off as that makes me, I kind of want her to stay suspended only because Chrissy Teigen has come to save her and get her back in the Times.
Oh, Jesus.
And so I want her to stay suspended so Chrissy Teigen doesn't get her way, even at the cost of Allison.
I do not want Chrissy Teigen getting credit for anything. I can help
it. I know, but I feel bad for this lady. But sorry, now that you have Teigen on your side.
Well, let's see what WJR cooked up today for Facebook Live.
Let's see.
They've been gaining momentum every day.
Yeah, they had 2,000 yesterday, right?
Did they have 2,000?
It might be more now.
You know, they're gonna fucking catch us. I see them in our rearview mirror.
2.4 yesterday, man.
What?
1.6 on day one, on Monday.
What if they pass us?
So far, they only have 1.1 for today.
You know, we have.
Are they gonna get their own soft magazine of Mr. Magoo?
No, and never.
Those followers.
Oh, now we start. Okay, we're starting and. You can see Paul W. and Ann and Dana in the WJR control room. Where's the other guy? The news guy. I already forgot his name.
What's Dick? His
name? Dick Hafner, yeah.
Everybody was old, had bad problems with
heart. I'm going to take this out.
You can imagine.
Wait, they're starting with Trump audio? I'm so confused.
Yeah, it's a little out of nowhere, isn't it?
What's that, Trudy?
They just started in the middle of that cut.
Yeah, and then and Paul W.'s talking to somebody else about something else.
So they gave it control.
So immediately when it came out, they gave
it. Middle of the night, it fell over. Governor Whitmer says she has been contacted by the campaign of Joe.
Well, remember
the news is going on.
Remember when I went on that Paul W. Smith streak for a while, where I was listening to him every day when I teach charter school. I did notice that they reran a lot of interviews and news stories later. So I think a lot of stuff.
But their audience doesn't scream at them the way ours did.
Oh, Patty P commented on the live stream.
Patty P, and I think someone else is on there.
Come on, Patty.
It's the first one that popped up. All right, I'll continue.
If she was a groupie of Paul W. Smith, that would be so terrible.
Yeah, well, she hates us.
What did she say?
Her candidacy as his running mate. Asked whether she'd been vetted by the campaign, Whitmer said she had an opening conversation, but was focused on the job at hand.
There's a comment on here. I'm a longtime Drew Mike listener. They've been promoting the WJR Morning Facebook Live show. Wanted to give a shout-out to the JR crew. You're doing awesome with the new live stream, minus some glitches. Everybody wave at Drew Lane. I think he's aware and watching. Bye!
You're welcome. Was that Patty P?
No, that's from Hobie.
Okay, so there's two people on there. So we have to subtract that from their total.
Yeah. Hey, Dick, mute your mic. I can hear you type over Paul. That's a comment later.
How many comments did you miss that?
How many comments total?
Yeah.
You dick.
It doesn't say where I am right now.
We better boost our posts. They're going to pass
General Motors top executive.
Doesn't sound as clear today. As he did yesterday.
GM CEO Mary Barra and Gerald Johnson will go to the Lansing Delta Township plant.
Can they not mute the other people's mics while the news is going on? Or is that the...
That seems like it defeats the purpose of Facebook Live a little bit.
Is that the only way they can communicate with each other?
I think so. That's probably the answer.
Leaders, including the GM president Mark Royce, dozens of U.S. facilities. In the coming days, President Trump, of course,
Mayor Maureen Donker.
Right, Mayor Maureen Donker.
The judges on the Macomb County Circuit Court will hold a video conference today to discuss the current situation in the prosecutor's office. They may choose a new prosecutor. The former prosecutor, Eric Smith.
All right, I'm jumping forward.
As COVID-19 continues to disrupt our...
I have good news. Today's only has 1,000 views.
Yeah, that's what I said.
So I think it's going down.
Yeah. Let's just jump forward. Okay.
It was a real novelty for the
great state of Michigan. We'll
more
be checking
adventurous chair listener.
If people there maybe get the mayor again and other people who live in Midland. And the governor was saying downtown Midland could be under 9 feet of water. That's a lot of water, obviously. And we hope
I'm jumping forward. I want to see if they actually say
how far are you, Mark? Because I want to catch up with you.
I'm going to jump forward to 11:40 because that comment I read happened at 11:53. And I want to see if they say hi to you.
The gentleman who's with us from noon till 3 is with us first thing in the morning, Rush Limbaugh.
Liberals in a dozen states trying to push through a regional agreement called the Transportation.
A lot of people sent this in. Doesn't Paul W. sound like
Saudi
this?
Soldiers sodomized several of Saddam's southern settlement squatters.
Listen for it.
Sounds like Dan Rather.
I see Clay had a comment. I didn't know Paul had a full beard.
Oh, God. That's what you get when you're with him from day one. We already talked about this day one, dude.
Well, it's a bit of Facebook Live. I have a video to the audio.
Climate initiative. It's aimed at reducing vehicle pollution. One of the components is a big carbon tax. It's basically the same kind of economic punishment that Obama wanted.
Hobie's comment.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to hear the. I want to hear them talk to each other.
Which would then these
governors are beginning to realize.
Carolyn and Clay and
would exercise, even if
everybody
staying safe. We need to keep.
If we have any,
this is where it's at when they talk over.
What the fuck is going? Will you play? Just play it straight through. Just let it go.
It's book watchers / listeners this morning that live in Midland. Let us know.
We have a way to help.
Somebody just wrote in.
Do they realize what they're sending out?
That person's from that area. Send us another note. Tell us where you are. We want to give you a call.
Then add enough CBD to be really effective. Level Select CBD.
So, Dana, are you going to wear a different hat every day?
0%.
I must. You don't want to see what's happening. That's cute.
And get 50.
I have to raid Trevor's closet
code CBD.
But then I have a lot of
select CBD.com. Promo code CBD15 or subscribe.
Try and hear.
If Rodham stuck around anyway,
let's get this on the radio.
Holy shit. Was any of that, did you play one on top of the other? Was Brandon playing it simultaneously?
No. No, that was them. That's their feed, their air feed. And then them talking to each other, which is not going out over the air, but it goes over the Zoom. And so we hear both.
Yeah.
What an honor.
They're the monitor. But they aren't hearing the monitor when they're talking to each other, though.
No.
There's no way.
But doesn't anybody listen to the product?
Nah.
Apparently not.
No.
Can you go back to Paul W. so we can hear what kind of
morning, Meg.
DIY projects done around the
awesome
house.
Content they get
the inside
going.
Outside guys and their many.
Let me jump way ahead.
The first call to get out to evacuate, but then people came back home yesterday after that evacuation because they thought everything was okay, including the mayor thought everything was okay, and people living along two lakes and a river in mid Michigan had to
rush out
and evacuate again. Yesterday and last night.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really bad there now, as we said earlier.
governor called for a state of emergency of the state of emergency for COVID. It's a mess. And like I say, our thoughts and prayers with those people. Mike?
Todd commented, he goes, is there anything other than ads on this?
Not really.
And as you said, Ann, now they're
afraid to run a few ads.
Their homes and their lives. And they have to rush out. Those that have been
Patty P.S.
Staying is there an audio in issue? Like they
why
were supposed
Rush talking
to,
over them?
And now they're out and about in the midst of evacuating and the problems. And, you know, you put people in these schools shelter, and they're generally right on top of each other.
Carolyn says, it's mute the station so we can hear you.
Exactly. They don't want to hear what's going on over the air. They want to hear Rush. They don't want to hear ads. I'm going to jump forward again.
Seven Saudi soldiers sodomized several of Saddam's southern settlement squatters.
Oh, that's terrible.
All right, let's see what they're talking about now.
In Midland.
Brought to you by Positive Coaching Alliance.
Another ad.
Got issues with youth or high school sports?
Oh, my God, already?
Positive Coaching Alliance can help. PCA, a national nonprofit, offers more than 1,000 free online resources for youth and high school sports coaches, parents, students, and administrators. Visit PCADevZone.org.
Hey, let's check it. Our WJR traffic and weather first on at 5:57.
No accidents out there to contend with on this hump day. Just watching those closures along Hines Drive, hump eastbound day. And westbound between hump Hagerty really and cool. Wilcox. Shut down there.
Pretty
also closed
for
between Stark and Newburgh and shut down between West Outer Drive and Ann Arbor Trail. It's flooded. Now, WJR weather first on the Weather Channel.
You can't dom if you hum.
Does she have to do the traffic? That's all she does?
I guess.
Traffic and weather together? And why is there no audio?
I just muted it just because you were talking.
Overnight low down.
She has to sit there the whole time and look at the camera?
That's what I was saying yesterday. She does a really good job paying attention.
Clouds and sun and a high of 74. Clear skies.
You know how many times I would be caught off guard if I was doing what she's doing? Whoa, it's traffic time? Shit. I mean, shoot.
Michigan, we're calling on you to save lives.
Nope, I'm not. I'm not giving them a free spin. Here we go. Okay. Jumping forward again.
Boy, okay. Would hate to be an
what do you get at Lawrence Technological University?
Ad. I just, I honestly
everything.
Jumped away.
Great labs and studios, supportive professors.
And many are living in shelters or with relatives.
New York, yes.
Downtown Midland could be under several feet
yes,
of water.
I'm from
Governor
the Big
Whitmer
Apple,
declared
Todd.
A state of emergency for Midland County.
Oh, they're talking over the news.
It's
news
time again.
New York. Bill were breached.
Yeah, she's responding. She's responding to a comment. Todd was like, oh, New York hat? Really?
In touch with many local leaders in Midland, and we will stay in close contact.
I have plenty of Detroit heads too, which you will also see.
I want to say again, if you are in one of these impacted areas, please.
This is what
right
the WJR.
Another one said, another comment is hard to hear you over all those commercials.
Township Dow Chemical all evacuated. There are no deaths or injuries.
Because it's about time.
There's a flood emergency going.
Right.
Teams are trying
she
to
was talking about another hacker. Don't give me any ideas.
Coronavirus. They say there are enough masks for
Wait,
everyone that
talking?
Have gone into the
that
shelter.
That was Paul talking to Dana over his own news.
Oh, my
rolling.
God. Are you kidding me?
Very confusing.
Could be I don't think they've mastered the Facebook concept.
Let it rip.
Oh, my God. It's all commercials. Every time I jump in, it's commercials or they're on tape.
Into these
oh, here we go. Here's the
something I don't know.
Let's see what this rap
keep
is.
People 6 feet away from each other. And now there's a story out there saying, and I heard this before, but now they're saying it again. 6 feet may not be enough.
Wait, I need to back it up because there's a whole bunch of Drew and Mike comments. Go to minute 33, Drew.
Minute 33?
Yeah, 33.
133 from the beginning?
No, minute number 33.
Oh, minute number 33, okay.
At Northwoods Wholesale Outlet in Pinconning. Today, we'll virtually explore the Great Lakes Bay region.
Okay,
this morning's broadcast is sponsored by Go Great Lakes Bay.
Of course.
More information, visit gogreat.com.
We should get Great Lakes
now,
Bay on
here's
our,
Paul W. Smith.
Our show.
Timing. Here we are, and we're keeping an eye on the Great Lakes Bay region because of all the trouble in Midland and our surrounding areas with flooding that you just heard.
Didn't they just talk
Dick
about
Haefner
this?
Talking about in our WJR News on this Wednesday, May 20th.
Hump day.
The 141st day of 2020.
How many
with
left?
225 days left in the year. Make each and every day count. Each day is a gift. And We're not even having to veer off our virtual tour because we're going to be smack dab in the middle virtually of all of the trouble, the
flooding. This is the tourism bit that got blown out, but they still want to use the sponsors, of course.
Underway. The governor yesterday and late last night, 9, 10 o'clock.
We'll do
again,
a virtual tour.
Telling people to get out. And we're assuming that most people did get out. We've listed the schools that they're going to for sheltering.
So time spent listening,
as
like
we
3
talked
minutes
earlier. And
it's less said, than that for me.
My goodness,
I keep jumping around.
Now they worry about flooding. They got to get outside. And
is this what people were commenting about?
Place,
doing my
well, so yeah, around here, some lady said
coffee comments.
Into the schools to shelter. I don't know how they can keep people 6 feet away from each other. And now there's a story out there saying, and I heard this before, but now they're saying it again. 6 feet may not be enough. And obviously, if you cough, if you sneeze, even when you talk, don't you hate it? I mean, nothing like this has happened for a long time because we've not been out at all. But when you're talking to someone and they're like in your space and they're talking, they're talking, all of a sudden you feel something wet. And you go, oh my God. They just kind of spit on me while they were talking. And you don't want to freak out.
I think this is a little too edgy for the JR audience.
Indicate, but it's now it could be a killer, you know?
Oh, it's
and I think I got
to
get rid of this because this is just
PD after
right,
show.
That's going
to
keep germs in
Paul,
being wet all the time.
I think Paul's fishing for some compliments because he's talking about shaving his beard.
And, you know, I can't keep doing that.
You could keep snacks in there.
Yeah, well, I've done that.
Little snacks, a little
sweet snack. Remember the Captain Tom Moore we talked about in Great Britain?
No.
He was, how old is he?
He's 102.
That's an easy reference.
He's just named Sir. He was knighted.
Wanted to raise $1,000. I don't know what it is in pounds or whatever.
Explain
but
that.
He wanted to raise $1,000 to help in the fight with the coronavirus.
What's
$1,000? You realize he raised $40 million.
Wonderful.
Wow, he was shot for $1,000 and
come on,
went
man.
And
okay, I can't take anymore. I lied. I'm going to go to the goodbye.
No more.
Trudy, we got to hear the goodbye.
When it comes time to vote, which you'll be able to do from home.
I predict it's abrupt. I predict it's mid-sentence. There won't be a goodbye. It'll be mid-sentence.
No, I think somehow. I think he'll say goodbye.
I don't know.
That's a good thing.
That's going to be a good thing without having to fill out any additional paperwork. All right, we're going to switch over to just radio. We'll get all these bugs out so we can stay. Always nice seeing you. We all appreciate
day, everyone.
Being with you. And stay with us on the radio. Don't leave. Stay with us here at 614.
This report is sponsored by Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars.
Sweet and Salty Bars from Nature Valley.
Oh, my God.
Wait, cut off in the middle of commercial?
No, I cut it off.
Okay. How did they get a 3-share? I mean, seriously,
I don't know.
They get a 3-share?
I don't know.
Who's listening?
You mean the whole station, though, right? Is a 3-share?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, you know what?
Where's Paul W. with 3-share?
I saw the most recent monthly, and because of coronavirus, they went from, I think, a 2.8 to a 4.8.
Yeah.
Because there's the perception that there's news there, but their listeners, if they're over 55, they don't count anymore, right? So how do they get a
64?
55? You age out after that, don't you?
You're out of the 25-54 demo. Believe me, they'd have a zero if nobody counted over 55.
What's the next demo after 55? 55 to 70?
No, 55 to 64. There's like a lot of people.
A 65 plus demo.
People sell 35 to 64. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for them. I'm glad they're happy. They're doing great.
That was scintillating.
What if you were to get a people meter in a nursing home where someone couldn't move, so it'd just be, like, stuck on all day long? That'd probably be.
Well, now you just hit on something else that's more amazing. The ratings went up, and think of all the people dying in the nursing homes.
Oh. That's true. It's crazy. Their time spent listening must be really high because they lost audience. Yet they gained ratings. That's how it works. all right. So let's see. I spent a lot of time today trying to read the entire New York Times article about Ronan Farrow.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
This is really interesting. To me, it's really interesting because I see so many weird things going on in the media that really just inconsistencies and selective coverage. And, you know, I think the guy on Facebook who was ripping me actually had it right. He said, what are you talking about, Drew? These news operations just give you what you want. Yeah. You know, if you're Fox News, they give you this. If you're CNN, they give you this. Yeah. They don't upset you with this or that.
Yeah, they're giving you what you want to consume.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, you know, that's why I was interested in the Joe Biden story with Tara Reid, because sure. I thought it was so different the way it was covered. And, you know, it's just a fact of life. Anyway, Matt Lauer was really pretty brutally maligned by the Ronan Farrow story. He was probably the biggest surprise takedown, I guess, maybe. I mean, Weinstein was another category entirely, but Matt Lauer was fired by NBC, and it's like, you are over. You are so horrible, and you raped this girl, and I fact-checked it all. And I remember when I got the book, and I read the book, and at first I was really fascinated by it. It's you know, it's a really interesting story. It's very prurient, of course. But as I got further in the book, I started feeling like, wait, he's acting like he knows exactly what happened between these two people. And I mean just Matt Lauer and Brooke Neville, but it could be somebody else and some other girl. And he keeps suggesting that, you know, I checked this fact and it's fact checked and it happened. End of story. Well, you never know what happened. And in fact,
Can I ask you just a question? So if it because it's a book, is that different than, you know, what was published in, say, yes, New York Magazine?
Yeah, that is different. I think it is.
Yeah, then
I don't think Matt Lauer thinks it is, and I don't think no. New York Times thinks it is either.
I mean, there's lots of stories told in books.
But I have to tell you, I am completely shocked that the New York Times did this story. I just was totally, totally shocked because Ronan Farrow is the knight in shining armor who took down all these horrible people. But the New York Times, they must have really felt strongly about this. They felt that there was some pretty bad reporting, some pretty bad journalism.
For the most part, the Times still does really good journalism.
The New York Times?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they weren't criticizing themselves. Weren't they criticizing Ronan Farrow's piece in the...
Yeah. Well, yeah. Why are you surprised that they did it then?
Well... It's just kind of out of left field. It's like nobody's really thinking about Ronan Farrow right now. They're just sort of, everyone's accepted what he wrote. And in fact,
I'm sure the media columnist has probably been working on it for a long time.
Probably so. But they must have really been tipped off, or their own research just didn't agree with it. Or, you know, I would love to know what led them to go down this path, because, you know, Ronan Farrow, and they were showing clips of his appearances on 2020 and Good Morning America, and you see the way these people kiss his ass, they don't really ask any hard questions. They just, oh, incredible work. Oh, my God, you're unbelievable. And he's sort of given all this credit for being this superstar, superhero journalist, and I kind of thought he was, too.
Yeah. I did see him get challenged once about, remember he's claiming that Weinstein's guys were following him?
Yeah.
I did see him get challenged on that, because there's no proof that they were Weinstein's guys for the most part. But then didn't he spin it into another story where he admits that he thought someone else was following him who turned out not to be anybody?
It was,
I guess that's just his way around that.
I have to tell you, the way the story was told in the book, it was so dramatic. It was like, you know, all these, you know, evil entities were out to stop him from telling the story that he just had to tell. And I found myself going, all this really happened? I mean, it almost seemed like it's impossible to get this story out. Yeah.
That's the other interesting thing. So is NBC cool now? Or are they?
I don't know. You know, fine. What was pointed out in the New York Times story was that NBC released all those women from their NDAs. Mm-hmm. They said, okay, yeah, we paid you a lot of money. Shut the fuck up. But go ahead, say whatever you want, because there was so much pressure because of Ronan Farrow's conclusions, and none of them talked. None of them said a word, not one of them. So apparently they didn't feel strong enough for whatever reason, and there could be a lot of reasons for that. Could be their careers. Who knows? But the part that I think is really tricky is when you start insisting that someone raped someone, and she never used the term rape or sexual assault until around this time, when she also acknowledged that she was very drunk and she didn't remember a lot of it. But Ronan Farrow insists that this charge of rape is fact-checked because Brooke Neville told a million people he didn't quote any of them.
Yeah.
Not one of them. He did.
According to Lowry, yeah.
Well, in the book, I'll have to go back and look in the book, but I think that's probably true because I really didn't like this story. I just I don't know how you can say this is fact-checked. These people had an affair. These two people had a long-going affair. She never complained about sexual assault until very... And if that's the case, then he raped her and she entered into a relationship with him after the rape, which, I suppose anything's possible. Who knows? But I just felt he was too certain of what happened. So he didn't quote any of these people that she told, but he did say that she told all these people. Now, he also leaves names out a lot. He just says sources. It doesn't always use a name. Mm-hmm. One of the names he didn't use was the boyfriend of Brooke Neville after this one-night stand. Well, what seemed like a one-night stand, it ended up being much longer. The boyfriend who, he said, she went crying to him the morning after. And Matt Lauer called this guy and expected not much because he figured, well, this guy's got to hate me, but he did talk to him. And the guy said that Ronan Farrow never talked to him and that he has no recollection of Brooke Neville coming crying to him that particular morning. So, I mean, that's a lot of stuff. And the New York Times is digging the same stuff out that Lauer's talking about.
So is it just the stuff with Brooke Neville? Because there were multiple women that came out against Matt Lauer.
Well, I was most interested in Brooke Neville myself because this has been declared a rape.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, as far as him being a cad and having sex with people around that building,
there were other allegations of sexual harassment.
Well, okay, there's, for example,
misconduct.
There is, I'm not saying I was there either. I'm not going to say I fact-checked anything or anything's fact-checked because I don't know what happened between these two people. We don't know. But we do know a few things, and we know more things today than we did a couple days ago. He did talk about Ann Curry.
no two people hate each other
as
more.
Matt Lauer points out, Ann Curry was very bitter, does not like Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
And she made some very general comments. In fact, he said that Ann Curry was such a general verification of all of this stuff, but she didn't say anything. She was asked about Matt Lauer, and she said, I'm not surprised about the allegations. And then she said she approached two senior executives about a problem with Matt Lauer, but she never specifically said what it was, and she didn't say who the senior executives were, and Ronan Farrow didn't talk to the senior executives. And this is the kind of thing the New York Times is saying, wait a second, that's just hearsay. I mean, at least he should ask the senior executives, and there ought to be some names given here. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just a real dearth of names. So,
well, NBC, though, they did do their own investigation, probably to cover their own ass.
Well, they did not fire him for sexual assault. They fired him because he was having sex with...
They found multiple accusations of misconduct by Lauer and thought that the allegations were credible.
Well, he was a banging machine in that building.
No, I know.
And they also...
And looking at it from... I mean, if you want to go back and look at what Matt Lauer... He is just focusing on the Brooke Neville rape accusation, and maybe that is the one that bothers him.
He spends a lot of time on it.
Yeah.
And Farrell spent a lot of time on it. And, in fact...
I'm just saying it doesn't absolve him of all his
sins. No, not at all.
Seems like a pretty pretty creepy dude.
I can't even say that he didn't rape her. I don't know. I wasn't there. His basic complaint is this, and to this, I think this is what the New York Times is saying, that Ronan Farrow acts as Brooke Neville's advocate, not as a journalist investigating her claims. That it appears Ronan Farrow came to a conclusion first and sees everything through the prism of that assumption. And the reporting seems to be as such, that names aren't used. People are not asked questions for verification, which usually you do that.
So is Ronan's sin posing as a journalist and that it was a journalistic book? I mean, that, because really, if you just said, I'm writing a book about what Matt Lauer, because look, we see
about a lot of things. I mean,
we see that all the time, though, with books, you know, unauthorized biographies, stories, stuff like that.
But
it's just different because this is an anal rape accusation.
People don't often.
It was published in the New Yorker magazine, I believe.
People, that's what the New York Times is critiquing.
Yeah, no, and then I agree with what they wrote.
Anyway, Ronan Farrow just immediately came out and said, Matt Lauer is just wrong. I fact-checked with more than a dozen people about all the Brooke Neville story. And then he says, it was thoroughly corroborated, including by Matt Lauer himself. Now, does that sound like somebody who's a little too sure of himself?
Yeah.
How do you fact-check rape that one person says didn't happen and one person says did happen? Yeah, you can't fact-check it.
I know.
He got that that uber confidence from his dad, Frank.
No, it's insane. And the other thing that now I didn't see this in the New York Times article, but as I was kind of fumbling through this story, there were a few people that commented on the fact that Ronan Farrow insists that Woody Allen had sex with his sister, that he groomed her, then had sex with her. And the point wasn't that Ronan Farrow's wrong or Ronan Farrow's right. I mean, there's a lot of debate about Woody Allen. He has a lot of people supporting him because he's Woody Allen, I think, as much as anything, but also because, you know, there isn't, I guess, enough proof to prosecute him. So the point is Ronan Farrow very objective about this particular, about sexual assault?
He doesn't let the facts get in the way of a good story, I think, is pretty much what sums up what he's been doing.
Yeah, so decide if you're a journalist or an author. Yeah.
But, what the New York Times really spends time on is the fact that Ronan Farrow did something that a lot of people were doing at the same time. They pick targets that people don't like. And when you do a story about someone like Matt Lauer, who a lot of people don't like Matt Lauer, and they liked him a lot less when this stuff first started coming out. And then when you put the hammer down that he raped Brooke Neville, and that he's a serial, whatever, I don't remember what terms were used. There aren't a lot of people saying, Matt Lauer, what? No, they're that fucking asshole, he locked people into his office so he could fuck them, and they couldn't leave. And by the way, what's the story on the lock in his office?
The door locked?
That story was, I don't remember if it was Matt Lauer, I think somebody else said, the ability to lock a door existed in a number of offices. It wasn't just Matt Lauer built one for himself. But I don't know. I wanted to look that up today, and I didn't get a chance. I remember there being an objection to that, but I don't remember. And I don't remember either if women said that, yeah, the lock clicked, and then he assaulted me. Maybe Brooke Neville said that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is.
As Meghan McCain called Matt Lauer on The View today, Matt Rape Button Lauer. I think that's what it's saying.
Well, you know, this is the thing.
Rape button.
You know, I was looking at Twitter yesterday, and there's all these people saying, Matt Lauer, the rapist, thinks that we care what he says. Yeah. Because Matt Lauer had defended himself. And I mean, it was like tweet after tweet after tweet that, in other words, I don't listen to what a rapist says. I don't care what a rapist says. So it's like, people that hate him, they've already decided it's true. I don't care. I'm not even going to study the facts, or I'm not going to look at this new review of it or anything like that. I mean, it was really brutal. I can't say I felt sorry for him, but it just seemed very wrong to me.
But that goes back to your point. Like,
the United States of assholes?
No. Just that he's an easy target because he is a creep, and he has multiple, you know, harassment accusations.
Yeah, he's not
a lot of them deemed credible, so it's, you know.
he wasn't terribly liked at NBC either, because he was a hard-driving guy who criticized people. He demanded a lot.
He had a box of dildos in his office, according to Meredith Vieira.
Right.
He made
a comment about Katie Couric's ass.
That's right. And her tits, too, when she bent over in front of the camera.
Oh, yeah.
Which is weird. She didn't have any tits. But I can't wait till Harvey Weinstein writes his op-ed about the book. Can you imagine?
Isn't that kind of the thing? He would take people who are already soiled and write a story about it, because then he's covered if any of those other things, you know, aren't
nobody,
about it.
Nobody likes.
As the story pointed out yesterday, when Harvey Weinstein's people were released from NDAs, they all spoke up. They all had something they really wanted to say. In Matt Lauer's case, it was a little different. But the reason this story, I think the reason the New York Times did this story was because Ronan Farrow did a story about Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen, and the leak of his financial records. And what happened was this is a weird story, too. It's just kind of a scary story, in my opinion. A civil servant whistleblower type claimed that Michael Cohen's records mysteriously vanished from a government database. In other words, somebody's covering up for Michael Cohen. Mm-hmm. And the civil servant then leaked some records of Michael Cohen's to the media to draw attention to the mysteriously missing files. MSNBC's Chris Hayes called it an amazing, shocking story about a whistleblower. Rachel Maddow called it a meteor strike. Democrats demanded answers about the missing files. Well, the civil servant worked for the IRS and was good friends with Michael Avenatti. Michael Avenatti was Michael Cohen's antagonist, if you remember, because Michael Cohen paid Stormy Daniels. So Michael Avenatti, it sounds like the civil servant was suggesting that Michael Avenatti really pushed me to do this.
Yeah.
And in other words, don't worry about leaking the files. Everybody leaks shit all the time. And in fact, this guy was prosecuted, I think, for leaking that, or fired or something. But anyway, it turned out that the mysteriously missing files were not missing at all. They were in a safe box of some kind, because they knew people were going to be looking at his shit. Mm-hmm. So it was all bullshit. And it was headline news.
Don't you feel like we live in a world of bullshit?
Yeah, I do. I tell you, it drives me crazy. Lately, it's driving me fucking crazy. And I tell you what's really making me crazy is...
Masks?
Yeah, masks.
Hydroxychloroquine?
Hydroxychloroquine, too. Yeah, very much so. Because I'm not a doctor. I don't want to study hydroxychloroquine. I don't want to spend my
time...
Too bad.
You have to.
...defending or not defending hydroxychloroquine, but...
It is simultaneously the best drug and worst drug ever made.
Right.
That's kind of what you get out of it when people email in and...
Right, exactly.
Get mad. It's the greatest and worst drug.
And you know what? Yesterday, or was it the day before, was a weird day because, you know, Trump had said, I take it. I'm taking it now. And so... He got slammed. I mean, just slammed by all the media, including Fox News. And this is how pathetic it is now. I'm looking at the story. I'm going, wow, even Fox News said something. So this really must be bullshit.
You are fake news.
And of course, they referenced the heart issues that people have and that the study was very bad. Mm-hmm. So,
and Dr. Pelosi said that he was fat.
Yeah, Dr. Pelosi said he's morbidly obese, therefore he shouldn't be taking drugs. Is Nancy Pelosi in a position to say what he should or should not be taking?
Well, only in the fact that she's a politician. She's going to shit on the
other
side.
Morbidly obese.
Shit on the other side anyway.
Definitely decide if he's morbidly obese.
Well, and so.
But that's, first of all, if Trump, or if someone, let's leave Trump out of it. Let's say Mitch McConnell says, Nancy Pelosi's morbidly obese.
No, it's a woman.
No, but I thought this whole body shaming thing was, I mean, really?
It goes one way, Drew, you know that.
But, yeah, I know. And I don't really care.
We don't care. Guys don't care.
Oh, no, wait a minute, though. She piled on because of the fact that that's one of the reasons why you should not be taking that drug.
No,
she didn't just arbitrarily pick that out.
I understand that.
But he's in the best shape ever.
She's not a doctor. Is it really appropriate for her to say whether he should? Because I don't want to say whether he should take the drug or not. I really don't. But in watching the the carrying on yesterday, I thought, oh, it sounds like he really fucked up. And I honestly, I don't think he should be talking about what drugs he's taking anyway. I don't think it's a great idea.
What about that wacky doctor he had that wrote the letter that said he's the best shape I've ever seen any human being ever in? Well, I mean, that guy is a doctor.
If you remember, though, he was, wasn't he a pound below obese?
Oh, that was his last update.
Oh, is he now morbidly obese officially?
No, no, but they left him at, I think, 239 for his height.
Okay. Huh?
They said, I don't know.
Anyway, the
all
point.
Of that, all of that aside, though, Mark, I think you said it, and that's my first thought. My first thought was, I don't think he did take it.
He just, the way he said it was like, are you just saying you're taking it because.
Yeah. Yeah, because if nothing happens to him because he's not taking it, then it'll look like it's a great drug.
Well, he's
right?
never wrong, right? And he's been talking about how great it is.
But this, there's another side to this, too, though, is that when Trump says hydroxychloroquine is good and it might help people.
Punch people.
Didn't he ruin the drug? Didn't he ruin the drug at that moment? Didn't people go, oh, that drug sucks. I'm going to prove it.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I think a lot of people immediately went, I don't know. Why is he telling me what drugs to take? What does he know? Right. He's not a doctor.
So yeah, they suck.
And he's Trump, and I hate Trump.
So you think the research they did on it was
No,
biased?
I'm not talking about the research. I'm talking about the media response, which was, well, by the way, I looked it up today.
Sure.
And you know who gets quoted all the time?
Who?
Rita Wilson. Tom Hanks' wife,
she took it.
who said she had a bad reaction to it. Yeah. Why does that come up so much? She's one person. But the reason I would have left this thing in the dust, because I really don't like talking about this stuff anymore. I'm not a doctor. I don't want to tell people to take or not take anything. But this morning, Dina Senafani had to ruin it for me. Dina did a story.
Good job, Dina.
Dina did a story with a Henry Ford doctor, and Henry Ford's doing a study on this.
Dina.
Should we just play it?
Sure.
8:43 this morning. And this is like, I mean, I think this story's over. It's like everyone's declared Trump an asshole. The drug sucks. Do not take it for for COVID. And it's just sort of a done deal.
But isn't that the beauty of science is that you can do new research? Remember, eggs used to be bad.
I thought science was science. I thought these things were bad. People felt pretty comfortable with what they were saying or not saying. And most people with medical degrees agree on things.
You got to keep doing studies, man.
This is pseudoscience.
But there hasn't been a lot of time since COVID-19. Sure. So that's one of the issues with it. Honestly, though, the more I learn about this drug, the more I feel like the minute this thing came out, this drug should have been studied.
Well, it's been around.
COVID came out.
Oh, with COVID? It's been around for a long time.
Yeah. And this doctor, doctor, by the way, declares it to be a very low-risk drug. So fuck if I know. All I could think of as watching this was, I wonder how much shit this doctor's getting today. I wonder how much shit Dina is getting today for doing this story.
Why can't they, since prisons are a problem and a breeding ground for COVID, why can't they give them to prisoners to test, like death row prisoners?
There you go.
Like, you know, like sending death row prisoners to the sun.
As Trump says, what's the harm?
What if you them absorb the harm or the glory?
But a lot of the negativity about the drug is based on one study. I've read about it in a million different places. It seems very absolute to me that they did a study and it did help some people, but it didn't help more people, and some people were stricken by the bad symptoms. Mm-hmm. The bad things that can happen,
the heart problems, the risks,
or whatever. Anyway, here's Dina.
Taking it to prevent coronavirus. Is that a good idea? Henry Ford, Dr. William O'Neill is leading one of
That's
the largest.
Way too much, Dina.
That exact subject.
What exactly is hydroxychloroquine and is it safe?
Yeah, the drug has been available for decades. Initially, it was used as a treatment for malaria. So if you go into a malaria-prone area, you get the drug as a preventative so that you don't catch malaria. It is very effective for treatment of malaria also. In addition, it's been found to have very profound anti-inflammatory properties. And so it's used in people that have rheumatoid arthritis and lupus. And literally tens of thousands of patients a year are taking the medication in the United States right now. And it's an extremely safe medicine.
In fact, Dr. O'Neill
calls it... I haven't heard extremely safe from anyone.
Well, I think he means extremely safe for, you know, isn't he saying for using it prophylactically for malaria. Or, I mean, we talked about this before. A lot
he
of
said
people
it's an extremely safe drug. He didn't really qualify it. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Science.
That's what drives me crazy.
It's never been peer reviewed, meaning that other doctors haven't been able to review the information. And it's an incredibly inaccurate, biased report.
So what okay, can this anti-malaria?
He's talking about the study that everyone is citing as, hydrochloroquine sucks, Rita Wilson didn't like it, and this study says that a lot of people didn't like it. He's saying that study is a piece of shit.
Oh, it's because he wants to fund his own study.
Well, maybe he does. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, just let him wrap up.
A drug he's due to prevent done. COVID-19. Now, Dr. O'Neill.
By the way, the update on Trump is he's finishing up his run with hydroxychloroquine in 2 days.
Yeah. 2 days, 2 day regimen.
And now they're saying that the doctor did prescribe it for him. So he was taking it under.
I didn't even know if I believed that.
I just don't believe he was taking it.
I don't know what to believe.
He didn't.
But anyway, finish the story.
Hill is leading a large study to test the preventive power of the drug in hundreds of patients who are at high risk of exposure, healthcare workers.
Here at Henry Ford, we were having 50 or 60 people a day becoming infected. So it really is a huge potential risk.
The drug has shown promise in patients around the world.
Patients in China and patients in Italy who are taking hydroxychloroquine on a regular basis for the treatment of lupus or rheumatoid arthritis have very, very low risk of developing COVID infections. And so we're testing that theory that if you're taking the drug and get exposed to COVID, then you won't become ill. And we're doing it in a very scientific way.
That means for 8 weeks, some patients get the drug and some don't. And no one, not even the doctors, know the difference.
I'm taking it, hydroxychloroquine.
Well, he's not in the study. President
lot, Trump
is taking the same dosage of the drug for the same.
Why doesn't he just enter the study?
To prevent COVID-19. Dr. O'Neill says that might make medical sense.
As you know, there his valet and a bunch of Secret Service agents tested positive, and he wanted to see if there's anything that could prevent it. What is available is this drug, and that's why he's using it. And I think he and his doctors know that it's perfectly safe for him to take it. He wouldn't be taking it.
No, Nancy Pelosi said it's not.
It was dangerous.
So we'll see. Side effects of the medication as well as blood and symptoms of patients are monitored throughout this study that Dr. O'Neill is conducting. And he tells us he hopes to have some preliminary results.
Do you know what one of the big side effects is?
No.
Diarrhea.
Gross.
So they're saying.
So what, is that guy full of shit? He's the only person I've heard explain this like it was reasonable. The only person.
Oh, maybe he's the outlier.
You know what the other common side effect is?
Itchy
severe
eyes.
Mood changes.
Oh, boy. Yikes.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, you know, the fact that civilians like us are talking about this, you know, like it's good or bad. I know. It drives me crazy because
it's become a political drug now.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It's a political drug. And I do think that Trump wrecked the drug. It's almost like he put arsenic in it when he talked about it.
I don't know. By the way, some lady who was taking it for lupus just got COVID-19.
and she's
mad because she thought she was protected. No, that's
anecdotal. He didn't say you couldn't get it. He said they had lower rates in China and Italy. And honestly, that seems like it'd be so easy to determine.
Yeah,
why
you would
is
think
that?
So.
I mean, what do you think there'd be? And I Googled it today, and there was nothing.
Yeah.
Actually, I think there were a couple that said there's no evidence that people with lupus get COVID less, but I don't think they had really studied it.
Yeah.
So, fucking knows.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just tiresome, honestly.
What a great story. Can we talk about masks again?
Yeah.
You're just asking for emails and one-star reviews.
When I was looking at the stuff today, I was thinking, do we need to just go no COVID for a week or no COVID the first hour of the show?
COVID-free.
COVID-free.
But there's so many fun stories, though, like the guy at Costco.
I agree. I feel like it's going on. How can you not talk about it? It's so ever-present. What is there to talk about besides it that would fill up a 2.5-hour show?
The sports that's going on right now.
What sports?
Can we get one of our fine podcast providers to maybe pay for a COVID-free 15 minutes or a Jackson?
That's not a bad idea.
One of our sponsors pay for a Jackson of COVID-free coverage.
Sure.
Oh, sponsor the 45 minutes? That's a thought.
And then after that, just nothing but COVID. That kind of defeats the purpose.
Well, you know you're safe, though. You know you're in the safe zone.
But it's definitely subsiding a little bit. I can tell you that right now. I send along the prep every day that doesn't get read. And it used to be for a while that I was breaking it up into two portions, coronavirus news and non-coronavirus news. Just because when this thing first erupted, when the shutdowns went into effect, the majority of the stories, 95% of them, were all coronavirus. Well, now as time has gone on, you see more and more people are going back to work. Things are other big stories are happening. There's actually a little bit of commerce. Floods are tearing up the nation.
Here's a fun kind of COVID-related story. Do you see all these cities along Woodward are canceling all their Dream Cruise events?
Oh, no.
Birmingham has, Berkeley has.
But I thought it's still on.
Well, the cruise might be.
The cars will probably go.
Yeah. So the question is, is this going to pressure Dream Cruise to cancel straight out? Which, why should they? It's just driving around in your car.
I don't know. They probably will cancel just because legal reasons and to play it safe.
But Berkeley Cruise Fest is canceled now, man.
Doesn't fall in that zone of soft events. It's not an edgy event.
What? I loved the parade. Remember? How else am I ever going to be the, what's it called? What do they call the main Grand Marshal of Marshall. The Berkeley Cruise Fest parade?
I don't know.
I can't remember who it was last year. I was very angry that it was them, though.
Yeah, it was somebody that surprised me.
Was it Dan Leach? Was he
the one? No, it was Gator, right?
I think it was Gator. That's bullshit. He moved out of
Berkeley. What did he do? He doesn't live in Berkeley? He
left Berkeley years ago.
He's a West Bloomfield guy.
That's all those 24-second ties he has.
What the fuck is this story, Mark, about the NFL player suing United Airlines, claiming that they let him get sexually assaulted on
I can't
plane?
Figure it out. That's why I handed it to you.
Okay. In this instance, the customer involved has moved to a different seat because litigation is now pending. We can't provide further comment. An anonymous NFL player says he was sexually assaulted on a United Airlines plane and claims flight attendants didn't do much to stop it, and he's suing.
Who is it, do you think?
I don't know. It says John Doe 1 says on February 10th this year, a woman sexually harassed, assaulted, abused, and violated him during a flight. The defensive football player says a trip cross-country red-eye ride from LAX to New Jersey was a complete nightmare. It was all made worse by a United staffer. Man says he took his place in the middle seat, and when a woman sat in the window seat next to him, he claims he was immediately harassed over the safety mask he was wearing. Wait a second. Was it sexual?
I don't know. Maybe she grabbed his dick.
Football player says he told her it was because of the growing coronavirus pandemic. Now, why would you give shit to somebody in the next seat? Does it really harm her if he's wearing a mask?
Now, I'm just going to say, if someone's giving him shit, he probably isn't a linebacker, offensive lineman, defensive lineman.
He's a kicker.
Right? He's got to be a kicker, maybe a wide receiver, scrawny. Yeah. So a smaller NFL player, I'm thinking.
Football player says he told her it's because of the growing coronavirus pandemic, claims the woman hit and elbowed him and demanded he move seats nonetheless for wearing a mask.
Because he had a mask on, yeah.
Man says he and his friend, identified as John Doe 2 in the suit, observed the woman taking pills and believed her to be under the influence.
I love it. Now it's narking out everybody.
The NFL player says Doe 2 got up to tell flight attendants about the woman harassing Doe 1, but they did nothing. Claims the woman then sexually assaulting him, groping and massaging his knees and thighs. Well, that'd feel good, I would think.
Yeah.
He claims Doe 2 got up again to inform flight attendants. They still did nothing. In the suit, the NFLer claims the woman began to intensify her sexual assault, grabbing and groping his quads and then stroking her hand across his lap towards the inside of his leg his genitals.
What's he complaining about?
Get your hand off my penis!
What's his problem, man?
He pleaded with the flight attendant to get the woman to stop, but he says United employee did nothing more than issue a verbal warning to the woman.
Says, don't grab his penis.
The woman then grabbed his penis and ripped off his face mask, causing him to jump away and run toward flight attendants.
He must have been so confused.
Sounds like such a
pussy. I mean, she grabbed my dick, and I like that, but she took my mask off.
While he was up, Doe 2 said the woman slid over to the middle seat and began sexually assaulting him.
Hey, all right.
It's funny.
She's just cock hungry, man.
I'm doing what everyone does when this happens. What's wrong with this guy?
Was he gay or something?
I mean, it's amazing. It's like I was reading the comments about Dr. Anderson at Michigan the other day because there was a story about how some of the people who were assaulted are saying that Michigan is trying to get out of it by saying it's beyond the statute of limitations and they're doing what they said they weren't going to do. So anyway, a lot of the comments were, If I'm a 19-year-old guy and some doctor starts playing with my dick, that ain't gonna happen.
I'll beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Mr. Anderson.
You mean to tell me those big football players let this guy do that? Really?
Get your frickin' finger out of my asshole, buddy.
While he was up, Dotu said the woman slid over into the middle seat and began sexually assaulting him as well.
Whoa, is you gay or something?
Phil Player claims United flight attendants came over, moved the woman to another row without passengers. Both he and Dotu were given $150 vouchers for their troubles.
Wait, she was just moved to another row?
Yeah.
In the good old days, United would have yanked her off that fucking flight. But now that they have tons of room because of coronavirus, they just move her to her own empty row.
That reminds me, did you guys see the story about the two NFL cornerbacks arrested for armed robbery?
Something's weird about that story, isn't it?
I don't know. It just sounds to me like they were at a party and they got pissed off at a couple people. So they pulled a gun on them and said, give me your money. And that's it.
Well, they're going to prison if that's what happened, if they can prove that. I mean, that's armed robbery. That's OJ stuff.
I thought didn't one of the guys produce evidence to show that he wasn't even ever at the party?
Oh, no, I don't know. One of the guys said he was playing Madden the whole time, wasn't he?
The Madden
party.
Defense.
In some
right.
party,
right.
there's.
One of the guys apologized, I believe. Didn't one of the guys say he apologized for his behavior?
Might as well just throw him away now.
No.
Put him in the clink.
I think there was a claim that these two guys had lost $70,000 in gambling.
Oh, really?
Like card games.
That's trying to get money back.
DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar.
Yeah, and so they were all pissed about that. And
what else are they going to do, huh?
Yeah, I don't know, but what a wild story.
Do you want to hear some of the comments underneath that TMZ story about the United Airlines story?
I can imagine what they are. Yeah, sure.
First comment, I would have told her, use your mouth, not your hands. Good for them. I'm glad they're standing up for themselves. Men should not be victimized as well as women. She should have been thrown off that plane.
Do you want a blowjob or something?
If a woman complained in this manner, cops would have arrested the man. This sow should have been arrested. And then if either big bad NFL guy tried to physically defend himself, totally reasonable, she would have screamed and they would have been arrested on arrival. Double standards all the way around.
Yeah!
Let's see. You forgot to say gay NFL player. That's a comment. I don't know what that means.
Oh, my God.
The story does not sound true. No one would sit there and allow someone to violate them. They didn't, though. The guy recoiled and went and got the stewardess or flight attendant.
Comments are just amazing.
White women at it again, shaking my head. We know she's white.
They didn't say she was white, did they?
No. This woman's favorite movie is Snakes on a Plane. That's a comment.
That's so stupid. It's funny.
He wouldn't be pressing charges if she was hot. There's probably some truth to that. Let's see.
We do need a picture of her to complete the story.
I call BS on this story.
I'm surprised someone hasn't pointed out that... Why is he flying with the other guy? Is he gay?
Well, I think that's what
he's like. The chickens with the other guy.
Sounds like this brother has a good case. Some women are unable to control themselves. How do you know he's black?
He's an NFL player.
Yeah, but that's an assumption.
Oh, if he plays a skilled position because he's smaller, then it's pretty likely.
This is written in all caps, but this is utterly ridiculous. I just wonder if the NFL player was black and the sicko drug addict woman was white. Probably so, because she felt so privileged to harass and assault the man.
Oh,
if I were that man, after I notified the flight attendant the first time and no response, she'd be lying in the middle of the aisle, asleep, if you get my drift. This sounds fishy, or Mr.
Why
NFL
does someone
is
have
a-
to bring political correctness into a story when they don't even know who's who and what color they are or aren't?
It's what's the fun in not arguing, I guess.
He thinks he was exerting her white privilege.
Sounds fishy, or Mr. NFL is a girly man and not into fish.
Ooh. Ooh! Powerful!
Let's see if there's any other good ones. They should have sent her back to the TSA pat
down. Sure seems fishy.
Megan Rapinoe was standing there bored and wanted some action. Good one. John... Wait. John Doe sounds more like Peter Puffer.
Megan Rapinoe, by the way, who's now who does not rule out running for office.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
she's great. I love when she says "fuck" every time she has an open mic in front of her. She might have to stop doing that.
This doesn't make any sense. A woman can't sexually assault a man. I swear the comment section in TMZ is just trolling to troll other trolls to troll back.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. Sometimes I'm like, I can't resist. I got to see the comments on the story. I won't even read the story.
Someone wrote, women are groped on public transportation all the time and nobody cares. And that guy who made that other joke comes back and says, why do you think Megan Rapinoe hangs out there?
What the fuck? How did she get into the story?
This guy just has it.
This guy is a real card, I got to say.
Believe all men.
Why is that so funny?
I believe Trump had Epstein's 13-year-old. Please, there's no comparison. What?
What? Oh, boy.
Does that even happen with him?
There's an Epstein series coming on, is it Netflix?
Yeah. Oh, who's going to play him?
It's a documentary, right? I think.
Oh, dang. When are they going to make the movie then?
I don't know. Is there a movie of that? I mean, isn't there going to be so much other stuff that do we need? It's like making a movie about Tiger King. I feel like the documentary was so entertaining. How would a movie even approach it?
Richard Dreyfuss as Epstein.
Oh, ooh, that's not a bad one. Yeah.
It's not bad, but it's maybe in the ballpark and there's a better one. But
I could see him doing that.
I could see someone doing a movie. I don't know. I feel like the story is just told and told and told and told. And now this multi-episode series is coming. Now what?
You know, the series The Crown that none of you have watched.
Oh, I've seen The Crown.
I have interest in The Crown.
It's pretty good.
They're approaching the fourth season, and they're debating whether or not to tell the tampon story.
Oh.
Prince Charles.
They've got to tell that story.
The writers of the show?
The people, the viewers, the fans are like, come on, writers, you've got to write in the tampon story. You must do it.
Well, why would they edit it out? It's a real story.
I don't know that they didn't include it, but the people who are anticipating the series are like, it must be told. It has to be told.
Isn't it kind of curious that people are sitting around going, okay, is it Crown season start? They better tell the tampon story.
Yeah. But Brandon, you have a clip?
This is what they've at least floated out there so far.
I lost a tampon. It may be somewhere in me, my handbag or a drawer. Either way, I don't have eyes on it and would very much like to.
I don't know the story, so I mean, that was fascinating. I want to learn about it.
Mark, what scintillating comment were you reading?
Wow, sign her to a team. She overpowered a football player. And then that followed by, Pansy, buy your own plane to the NFL players.
Of course.
I love just the stereotypical. Like, everybody thinks it's automatically, you know, someone who makes Tom Brady money. Multi-millionaire.
Oh, boy. You want to hit the outro? This is a long show. We're doing some long shows lately. All we do get is bitched at. I guess we did a shorter show. We'd say less to get bitched at about.
Oh, there you go.
So,
or maybe don't spill a Diet Coke for 40 minutes.
It's not 40 minutes. By the way, that was a 36-ounce Coke in that 12-ounce can.
How do they do that?
Unbelievable.
It's Jesus juice.
Holy shit. Oh, reminds me when you were talking about The Crown. See that there were a lot of stories yesterday about it was Harry and Meghan's. Is it their second anniversary or something?
Yeah.
And they actually said that they're going to really take it easy. They're not going to work. Like, wait, work? What do you mean work? They don't do anything they don't want to do. They're not workaholics. They made it sound like they're workaholics, but they're going to actually take the day off.
They're very sad that nobody in the royal family posted on their social media.
The artist formerly known as Prince.
Why would I don't know why anybody in the royal family would? It's quite obvious the royal family, they all hate her.
Isn't it pretty apparent? Here's breaking Fire Festival news.
Oh, awesome.
Kendall Jenner has agreed to pay some money into the trustee for the bankruptcy case. Because remember, she made $275,000 on the photo. She's agreed to pay $90,000. fuck, she still made a shitload of money on it.
Fuck that bitch. Do you know, she did not post it as a promo.
Yeah.
She made it sound like it was, oh, I got great news about, you know, and, yeah. and all these people believed that they thought that Kanye was going to be there based on her post.
I wouldn't go.
And then she never warned people not to go when some of the other influencers were saying, hey, I'm really sorry that I promoted this thing. It's all fucked up. Don't go. No. She never did that. She never apologized either. Bitch. 90 grand? Why the fuck should she get 180 grand?
Because she's hot.
God damn it!
Stupid bitch!